the kickoff to the top 40 all-time season rankings here on Robinson Podcast, talking about the 40th best Survivor season, is sponsored by our friends over at BetterHelp Online Counseling. If you think that you may be depressed or feeling overwhelmed or anxious, BetterHelp Online Counseling offers licensed professional therapists who are trained to listen and to help with lots of issues like anxiety, grief, depression, trauma, anger, family conflict, self-esteem, and more. All you have to do is fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs and then get matched up with a counselor in under 48 hours. You can easily schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus exchange unlimited messages to communicate with your therapist at your convenience, and everything you share is confidential. For any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. You could join the 1 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp counselor. BetterHelp is an affordable option. Our listeners get 10% off your first month with the discount code RHAP. Get started today at BetterHelp.com/RHAP. That's BetterHelp.com/RHAP. Talk to a therapist online and get help. Coming to you live from the Snug, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's more excited than Karishma going to Applebee's. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very big project that we are undertaking. It is the 40-week all-time Survivor season rankings on Rob Has a Podcast. We polled 2,400 listeners of Rob Has a Podcast, and they got the most thorough rankings ever conducted. We had 2,400 ballots ranking all 40 seasons of Survivor, and week by week, we are going to bring you a panel discussion of each season as we count down the top 40 hits from Survivor. And today, we are going to talk about the 40th best season of all time from Survivor. Congratulations to the 40th best season of Survivor, Island of the Idols. And here to talk about it with me, two of my idols here to join me on the podcast. First, let's welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, the great Chantel Francis. Chantel, how are you?
Hello, hello. Happy New Year. I guess I'm the Canadian idol here representing. I didn't realize I'm going to be spending the early days of 2021 reliving this moment, but I'm happy to be doing it with you too.
Some of the darkest days of 2019 here. We skipped all of 2020, went right back to 2019 here on the 40th best season of Survivor. And then, exactly, of course, another idol. Here he is. The great Chappelle is here. Chappelle, how are you?
I'm great. I'm excited, as usual. But I'm very excited because I've never got to speak to Chantel before. And I'm hoping that, you know, the people who tuned in to listen to this will fall in love with you too, Rob, as I have with Chantel and as they have with me.
Okay. All right. No doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. Thank you both for being here to talk about this season. When we were trying to figure out what we were going to do, I was talking to Chappelle. He said, give me the worst one. Whatever's the worst. I don't care. I'll talk about anything. So thank you for being here. And Chantel, thank you too for being a part of talking about this season. It did not do great in our poll. The 40th best season of Survivor from our 2,400 ballots. Big props to the tabulator, Kurt Clark, who has been conducting these polls all through the previous month as we are getting ready for this. And all season long, we're going to have weekly polls as we go through each season. Of the people that were polled, 32.71% of the voters had this season in 40th place. So over 30% of the people that voted had this at the bottom of their list, considered by Dalton Ross as well to be the 40th best season of Survivor. There was not a lot of controversy in terms of ranking season 39, the Island of the Idols, as 40th place here. But we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the bad. We're going to talk about the good. And we're going to take a lot of your questions here as we discuss Island of the Idols here on this very special kickoff of our all-time season rankings series. So Thank you for being here. Make sure you subscribe to Rob as a podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes of this. And I'm also very excited to announce that we are going to be doing a follow-up to these shows every single week on our Patreon feed at robasawebsite.com/patron. I will be doing a weekly feedback show every step of the way. We got over 300 questions from our listeners. We will not have time to get to all of them here today. I'm sure we will get feedback on our discussion here today. And I will be doing that exclusively on our Patreon feed. So you can get the follow-up to each week's show at robasawebsite.com/patron. I'm very excited about that series and everything we have going on, our weekly activities, our patron community, and everything we have going on behind the scenes at robasawebsite.com/patron. Okay. All right. First off, let me say, are you two ready for this? I feel like that I'm here on, I'm ready to learn from the Rob and Sandra.
I'm ready for this. I don't know what is going to unfold here, but I'm just curious to see what the good is. And, you know, we'll probably touch on the bad a little bit as well.
Yeah. I'm a little loopy. I have watched this entire season. I went back and I rewatched the whole thing here over the last day and a half. So I have done nothing else but consume Survivor Island of the Idols. So I might be a little bit off. So please excuse me if I'm just out of my mind already coming into this. Ready
You're
to
excused.
Go.
Yeah. You're excused, of course.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. You just put yourself through an ordeal. We will be, we'll handle you with grace.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And this is a traumatic season of Survivor, that this is a season that a lot of people ranked it at the bottom, of course, because of the whole incident with Dan at the merge and everything that came out of that. And ultimately, Dan's removal from the game, how everything was handled. This was the season of Survivor where when people said, hey, what about the, you know, it's not that bad. What about if you just forget about Dan? And then a common response I saw from people was, yeah, I had to stop watching the show this season. You say what you want about, well, take out this part and it was fine. Well, like I couldn't watch Survivor anymore. This is the season that made me almost quit watching the show, or at least quit watching this season. If it wasn't for season 40, I wouldn't have come back. So that's your reason why it's here, despite any of the good that we'll talk about here in this podcast, that there is just so much damage done from both Dan and the way that this whole situation was handled. So I just want to say at the top of the show that I do want to try to handle that situation as delicately as possible. We did a lot of stuff in the real time talking about this and doing special podcasts talking about the way that this was handled. And so I do want to approach everything dealing with that situation with the utmost sensitivity up top here at the start of this show. Okay. So anybody who is wanting to maybe look, I'm not ready to go back and deal with that. I'm not ready to go and hear anything about season 39. Well, the good news is this is only the first episode. You can either stop this episode right now and come back and see us next week, and we won't talk about Survivor Island of the Idols ever again the rest of the way. We're ripping the Band-Aid off here and getting this out of the way here as we start. So if you, as far as you're concerned, if there's only 39 seasons of Survivor, we will see you next week. Okay. All right.
Sounds like a good plan.
All right. I got this from a patron who said, please just don't even address this season. This was so preventable. And to be honest, while not even in the same category, the stuff with Missy and Elizabeth is really beyond the pale also. They shouldn't have aired this season, which is a shame because there are some really great characters on it that I will personally never see again. Understand that take, but I felt like that there are 40 seasons of Survivor, that this was a extremely ugly incident. It almost killed the show. Had it not been for season 40 in the works, who knows how this would have played out. But I think that we still need to discuss Survivor Island of the Idols. I totally understand if there are people who don't want to hear any discussion about Survivor Island of the Idols, but that's what we're here to do. Joshua Neal also sent in this message. Since CBS couldn't do it, I will. If you or anybody you love is affected by sexual assault and needs help or somebody to speak to, call the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-656-4673. Okay? That is... If you are still traumatized by everything that's going on, totally understand. And that's the way It should be handled. Let me bring up the big question that we got here from the listeners of the podcast. We got this question over 100 times from people who wrote into our feedback. We started a Google form. You can send that in every single week. robhasawebsite.com/top40feedback. Some version of this question, if it was not for the situation with Dan, what would this season be? Where would this season be ranked? Is it number 40 only because of that, or is the rest of the season bad too? And I know that that has been described as other than the whole thing with John Wilkes Booth, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? But that is a big question that is on the mind of our listeners. Do either of you have any thoughts about, can you separate the two things, the two parts of the season?
Well, I remember when the season first started, I really enjoyed these characters. I feel like there's a lot of really good personalities, people coming together, people wanting to play. And so I was really excited. And I do feel as though the incidents that happened tainted the end game and that's what tainted the season, in my opinion. But I had really a lot of higher hopes. I might have been underwhelmed by how the Island of the Idols was actually used, but I did like seeing these characters, and I would like seeing some of them again. I like them. So I do feel that the incidents did taint the season for me.
No doubt. It is the biggest of all possible turds in the punch bowl that we are dealing with here in this season. Chappelle, do you feel like, though, that the rest of this group, that there was a top half season potentially in there?
Yeah, I mean, this punch bowl is mostly turd, yes.
Yes.
However, I don't want to be a Danny Downer, you know, and just focus on the, you know, that guy. But yeah, there are some great things in this season, aside from, you know, the big, huge elephant in the room, right? The whole Dan conflict and all that stuff and the way CBS handled this. But yeah, if we look at the season and we just remove all of that, there's some interesting gameplay. There's some fun characters. It's just like, I don't remember which listener you said wrote in and said that, you know, they just never see these people again, and that's okay. I kind of felt like that at the time, because when I said I wanted to do the worst season, I didn't even think about this season because I just erased it from my memory. So I was like, oh yeah, that's a thing that happened, because it's just that traumatic.
Yeah.
But in rewatching it, yes, I can appreciate Karishma and Missy and Aaron and, you know, all these, outside of all the things that have to do with that part of the storyline. It's a huge part of the storyline. It is the turd. The punch bowl is just sitting underneath it. And if you sift through that stuff, you can get to, you know, the good stuff, the punch.
Yeah.
I like the punch.
And again, we knew this stuff is in there on this second viewing of going back through it. And I really was surprised of how much I enjoyed a lot of this season going through it. And that's why I'm actually very excited to talk about it. But let me, before we get into some of the good that I think is here in this season, I just want to play a clip from, this is Jeff Probst did an interview with Kelly Kim in the reunion show. They should have taped this. They should have pre-taped this. I feel like that, even watching this again, this was a bad spot to put Kelly in, to have her do an interview live in front of an audience that was going to be going out on television. It wasn't live. It was live to tape. She says like three or four times, like, I'm really nervous. I'm really nervous. But here she is. And I think that she says something that I think is very important for how we frame this conversation here today.
You know, I think the most important thing when I think about this situation and what happened is that I hope that this season of Survivor isn't just defined by inappropriate touching or sexual harassment. I hope that it's defined by change, you know? And I feel like I can be really proud of the fact that I spoke up and I asked for these changes, and CBS and Survivor are making those changes because I asked. You know, and I have to fundamentally believe at the end of the day that individuals and institutions are capable of change. And I think that as a result of the season, many of us have had these hard conversations. We've learned a lot, and I think we're still learning. And ultimately, my biggest hope is that each one of us, each individual, each institution, each organization, and especially CBS and Survivor, can take this, learn from it, and do better. You know, I fundamentally believe that we can do better.
We are committed to it, Kelly.
And so in the lead up to the Survivor 39 finale, there were a bunch of changes to the way that Survivor is filmed that were announced at that time. And I'd sort of forgotten about that because of everything that we've been talking about over the summer with the work that the Soul Survivors and the Black Survivor Alliance had done with the anti-racism petition, to the changes that Survivor is going to be making in terms of how they deal with people of color, in terms of the casting and people behind the camera. And I was really struck by just thinking about this, that, you know, we have not seen a second of Survivor filmed since this happened and since these changes that they made for Survivor 40. And it really is going to be very interesting to see what Survivor 41 looks like, because we're talking about season 39 here today. And, you know, this, you know, very ugly chapter in the history of the show. But this will not be the last ugly chapter that we're going to be talking about in this series over the course of Survivor. And so I do think it is important that we just, we can't talk about this season, can't talk about this season, can't talk about this season. You know, I think that we need to go back. And I do think that there are things to learn, and it'll be very interesting to highlight those moments, I think, as we go through. And hopefully we get to a season 41 of Survivor that does not look like what the some of the uglier chapters of the previous versions of Survivor look like. So I think that's going to be something that's really interesting as we count down on this series 40 weeks till maybe when we get to Survivor in the fall.
Absolutely. And one thing, though, that I did want to touch on is the fact that, you know, some people are saying that they would prefer this season to never have been aired. But we are watching reality television, and we're watching it because we want to see real people interacting in the real world. And to have it censored, I think, you know, it's already being edited. So to completely censor it completely, I think is a little bit of a disservice to us that are wanting to see people playing a game, but interacting with different walks of life. And so I think it was very important for them to actually air the season, and important to start the discussions about the issues that are coming up, because these are real world issues that most people deal with every day of their life, and they maybe not talk about it. So I do think it's an opportunity as a platform to be able to bring these issues to light.
Yeah. And the show does attempt to deal with some of these situations on screen and at tribal councils, a lot of times in a very clumsy way. But it does seem as though the show does make a decision in this season where we have the incident with Jack Jamal, where Jack referred to the buff as a do-rag. And there's also a moment at the tribal council that where Jack ends up getting voted out, where there's a discussion about gender dynamics and privilege. And so the show does seem like that they're trying to get to a place where they can talk about more social issues on the show. They just really screw up the whole situation with it's like a half measure where they're trying to address it in the show, but they really do not handle it in a very delicate way, or if anything, they try to handle it in a too delicate of a way.
And I think the hardest part about it too is for the contestants that were playing, that were involved in this incident. They're playing a game for $1 million, and so like, what can they say? Can they not say? They don't want to ruin their day, and they don't want to be kicked off the show. They don't want the show to end, and so it's like a weird balance of like, okay, this just doesn't feel right for me, but I also really want to play this game, and what's going to be happening in response to be saying something. So I think it's just very layered. Even the response that some of the contestants were having to these incidents, because they're within a game. And I did really feel for them, especially Missy and Elizabeth, because I think that was a natural reaction that one would have when they don't want to deal with the situation in the moment. And it obviously was because they're playing a game. Yeah. In real life, I don't think they would have had the same response.
And it's a good and a bad, because I think that one of the things that I have here in my list of good things, that this cast really plays hard. They come to play, and the cast, like almost with a couple of exceptions, is a really, really good cast. It actually makes me excited about the future of Survivor, that this is the last bunch of newbies that we saw, and they had a really high hit rate. They had a major strikeout, but they had a they hit at a really high level with this cast. And then ultimately with that whole incident, the merge, it's just almost like that. I hate to use like a sitcom, but there's just like a series of misunderstandings where that they all have incomplete information, where it seems like that Tommy and Lauren, who really, play that merge vote really, really hard. It seems like that they don't have all of the complete information about what Kelly and Missy are talking about in their conversation. They're looking at it. Oh, what's this? Oh, she's just said she was going to vote you out. Well, obviously she's going there to play you. And Missy's like, what? That she's trying to play. Oh, this is her trying to play me. So I'm actually going to try to play her. And it's just, everybody's just coming out guns blazing, playing really, really hard, but nobody has all of the information to be able to have the conversation to say, wait, this is actually what's going on, because they're really all trying so hard to win the game.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this will be like the last thing I talk about with the production and how they handle this. Cause I don't like you said, you don't want to get stuck on that, but I will say this. Production at that point should have stepped in, because there was so much misinformation, because it's a game. So of course we're lying and backstabbing. We don't know what to believe. But at some point when that level of seriousness enters, like Jeff is at tribal council going back and forth with Dan in one episode. And at some point he should have just said, Dan, here's the facts, and they should have sat them all down and said, this is it. XYZ. We're not voting out anybody this week based on this information. Dan's going home and let's move on.
Yeah.
And that probably could have salvaged the season. And so, like you said, it's very clumsy, and it kind of taints these people's like legacies and what they brought to the show. Cause there was some good TV. Even the fact that happened during a week where it was so contentious due to that, like, underlying like Dan drama, they would never stop playing. These people are all like, okay, well, how do we navigate that so we can get to the next round? What do we do to get this person out despite this? Like, what do I have to go say to mend this fence with Dan so I might be able to work with him so that I can get further? And they shouldn't have to do that. But the idea that they never got complacent, nobody was just willing to be the next number. Mm-hmm. That's exciting to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's uncomfortable, but you have to be willing to be uncomfortable to make change.
Mm-hmm. The pre-merge of the season is really, really strong. That in there are 7 episodes that happen before we get to that 2-hour merge episode, and almost every single one of them is a really exciting vote. You have a number of players that are blindsided. Just to go through those first couple episodes of the series, the second episode has the great blindside of Molly, where Molly and Jack and Jamal are depicted there. They're sort of running things at Vokai. They end up flipping the vote around and blindsiding Molly. In episode 3, Vince gets voted out of the game, and he has an idol in his pocket. We have the 4th episode was when Nora goes to the Island of the Idols and gets the opportunity if she is the caller, and they make her sit out of the challenge. Then we have Chelsea blindsided with an idol in her pocket in that episode. We had the whole thing with Jason and the 4-4 split at the tribal council, where ultimately Elaine is able to cancel a vote. And that was a great vote. And then I think we have the best vote of the whole season, where Kelly has an expiring idol. She gives it to Dean to play against Jack. And then Jamal plays his idol on Nora. It was a really, really strong pre-merge in this season. And going back and watching it, all this stuff was great.
And no, and it was just kind of weird. Like, it's like the looming, it's like a horror movie, It's like, oh, I know this is pretty good. Or when you're watching the Titanic, like you could feel like how they were so excited of what was going to happen. And like people were playing and blindside, all this stuff was going on. And then you just know how it's going to end. And you're just kind of like, oh, these poor guys, they don't know what's going to happen to them.
Yeah. You do. You feel bad for them because then, and again, I don't know what the production was doing here, because it's almost like that different people were editing this. Then ultimately, they know where this is going. They know what's going to happen. They know how this season is going to end. Why did they even show this guy on screen at all? Why does he get a confessional through the whole series? Why do we ever get his point of view on anything? And this was a question that that we got from people of, should the show have handled this season differently from the start in terms of letting us know, okay, where there's going to be something that's happening with this guy, and letting us know there was an incident on Drag Race in the previous season where they told you up front what was going to be going on in that season. People knew, where this was a complete blindside down to the night that it happened. You got a card, make sure mature audiences only are watching the show tonight. And that was it, where a lot of people ended up being very traumatized by having to watch that episode. Chappelle, do you think that they could have given us a little bit more of a heads up of how that they handled this whole season?
Honestly, I think the reason why they didn't is because they thought they handled it well. Mm. Like you were saying, like, they did not know that this was going to come off like this. Like, you can even kind of sense it from Jeff in the finale. He's like, oh, we've gotten a ton of feedback and da da da. And we're still learning. We're still learning. Yeah. Like, that means they put that out there thinking, look at what we did. We did this right. We showed durag talk. We showed sexism. We showed, like, we hit all the topics. We even have this moment where Kelly's like saying, like, you know, I'm uncomfortable. And one of the producers steps in and says, well, if you're uncomfortable, just let us know and we'll handle it. And then they put the card up. They remove him from the game. They thought we checked all the boxes. And that is absolutely incorrect. They did it completely wrong. They should have been upfront about it. They could have addressed a lot of this stuff from a different perspective. They could have just pretty much removed Dan and said, you know, and just did a card. There was another person in this season. Or just cut him out. I mean, it's really, they could have worked it. We've seen people get purple edits.
Yeah.
Before.
They left so much of him in.
Yeah. He had, like, that's why I think they were proud of this. They gave him, like, and last Dan with the family visit, the youngest person to ever come on the show. It's like 9-year-old son coming out like Shane Powers' boy, and he's crying like, oh my God, and everybody's crying for Dan. And the whole time you're thinking, the same Dan that we just watched Kelly like rolled out of here crying, like, excuse me? So I think they didn't remove him because they didn't know it was wrong. Same thing you were saying about Kelly in the finale, that interview that she does with Jeff. Anybody else would have said, you could have pre-taped this. You could have asked her if she wanted to release a statement. You could have done anything. But what he says instead is, okay, Kelly, you've never spoken on this publicly at all. So for the first time, people get to hear your opinions. Mm-hmm. Here's a hot mic. Billions of people watching. The most controversial season in the world. Tell us, you know, what do you think about this? And then he doesn't even apologize straight out. He says, you were right. You were right. No, say, I'm sorry, as a producer of this show who saw you going through this, who sits at the tribal council seeing you argue about this, I should have spoke up and said, no, this is wrong. And he didn't. Because
I'm sorry for what you went through.
What you went through, not what we put you through. No mistake. They could have fixed this. And so I think they were proud of it. I think that's why it's on CBS All Access, because they thought, it has a good winner, has a good pre-merge, and we handled these social issues. Racism, check. Like, sexism, check. Like, touching, check. Like, we touched it all. And they just, you know, they hit the tip of the iceberg for the Titanic reference.
Definitely. When I was doing the rewatch, I was surprised about how much Dan we saw. And, you know, I definitely could see them thinking that they did a good job, but I could also see, and this may be a hot take, that they didn't want to lose their ratings in the beginning of the season because they knew what they had was really good. And so it could have been the numbers that they wanted to keep at the beginning that allowed them to create maybe, you know, this maybe a villain arc, even though it's a very, very uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
But I think it might've been a ratings thing to keep that, because it was really good until it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't want to overshadow what they have coming up with. Hey, it's about Rob. It's about Sandra. They're coming back. This is exciting. And then, not necessarily, especially when they're having everything coming up with season 40 and that they don't want to make that this is what this show is going to be about and potentially not have people be tuning in. I think that that's probably the case. The merge is still a disaster. That this is still, there's nothing entertaining here to watch. That it is like a slow motion car accident to go through it again of everybody. It's like, you should talk to him. Everything there is bad. I think the show takes a while to try to pull out of that nosedive. There are some good moments that still happen following that. It takes even like a whole other episode, but we get Lauren trying to convince the tribe to all eat breakfast.
That's great.
I think that's a lot of fun. There's a lot of good stuff with Karishma post-merge of her finding the idol. Like, she's pretending she's dead. She plays her idol correctly.
Like 7 votes negated. Go look at the queen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
there's some great Karishma moments. There's the whole thing at the family visit when Nora is going off. And I have to say, look, Nora shines in this season. And I think that a big part of this series is going to be, there's going to be cognitive dissonance, I think, that we need to do. If we are going to go back and look at old Survivor seasons, that I think that we need to be able to hold two things in our hand at the same time of like, this person is great television and I don't agree with things that this person says. I don't necessarily agree with everything this person is about, but boy, when they were on that show, Nora down the stretch of this season and even in the parts of the beginning of the season, Nora is electric. I was smiling ear to ear going back and watching Nora in this season.
I definitely liked her more on the rewatch. I remember kind of being a little bit annoyed with her just because I had other favorites on the season. But watching it back, I'm like, I appreciate Nora. I'm happy that she's here. I'm like, and I was more so rooting for her than I was the first time around. So definitely give her some props second watch for sure.
Chappelle, when they don't take her on the family visit, and she goes on and on and on, and there's like a montage of her time lapse too. And she says that, yeah, I'm like the Karishma of their group, but I'm actually fun to be around. Like, it is.
And then Elaine goes, "You're their bitch," and she's like, "Yeah, exactly, like Karishma." I'm like,
it's so great. And then she gets caught in the lie that they're trying to vote out Tommy, and then Dean rats her out, and then she hates Dean. But then by the finale, she turns around, and then it's like that. Hold on, there's like a romantic relationship that's developing between her and Dean. All that stuff is great. Dean comes around by the end of the season. That who was this Detective Dean? He had nothing the whole season. And then Dean gets like red hot in the last 3 episodes. And he's like, he's winning challenges and he's finding things and he's giving all these great confessionals. I've never seen anybody that is like almost like a nothing character for 31 days. And then final like 6-7 days of the season, all of a sudden is one of the best characters on the show.
Yeah. Well, maybe because he was getting close to the money.
I don't know.
Like, let's turn it up.
It's like he was sleeping and then he woke up and then he was like lights out. He's going on this amazing run. And Dean is really great from towards the end. We haven't even talked about Elaine, who is another
busted can of biscuits.
Yeah, busted can of biscuits. She's all over this season. She's she's gold every time that she's on. She's also a very good player. She's very savvy. She's not just a character on this season. She's great. She puts up a really great fight towards the end of the season to get there. I mean, if we're going through the characters, also Janet is, I forgot how good Janet is in this season. Janet is gold.
Yeah. She's a constellation. I think that's what you're saying when we have to like separate these people from who they are in real life and what we're talking about. We're talking about this television show. So we're not saying that you have to like this person. We're just saying the television character that you saw.
The characters on this show, right? If this is Game of Thrones, right?
That, yeah, like, exactly.
Boy,
You don't have to hate Littlefinger in everything. You know, he was decent in the first Wonder Woman. You know,
right? But not a great mayor, right?
Not a great, yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, for me, Janet just shines. You know, when the merge gets really dark, she's the light, right? So it's like Janet is like having these conversations with people that you would think production would be happening with the people, right? She's saying like, Dan, if someone came to you and said these things about, you know, made these accusations as a boss, what would you do? And Dan is like, oh yeah, I would take these accusations seriously and I would remove them. And they're sitting there having a deep conversation about that. And the production people are just rolling the cameras. Not the light doesn't go off in their head like, huh, it's crazy that Janet can figure this out. She can see the forest for the trees, but you can't. So yeah, Janet, she has a good run. She looks like she's about to win. I think she gets screwed over in the end by the idol nullifier, and we
so
can talk
screwed
about
over.
If
yeah,
you want to?
Yeah, yeah. Let's keep that as a separate thing. Let's get when we get to the bad about this season. Besides that other thing, there's a lot there too. You know that this. It was not on one person alone that this got to 40. There is some other bad, but also in this season that the winner plays an old school game, not everybody's favorite winner, but I'm telling you, this guy was a good Survivor player. He was not electric television by any stretch of the imagination, but he is all over this season. He makes a lot of very subtle moves. He plays an old school game. He does not play idols. He does not find advantages. He does not win challenges. That he wins on the strength of his social and strategic game. And if you are, you know, not a fan of the people that come back from the edge of extinction or people that sort of idle their way to the end and make a fire, that is not what this guy doesn't even. He avoids the fire making challenge. That Tommy is a really, really good winner of Survivor.
I think for me, though, why I didn't love him is because him and Lauren were a duo, and I really wanted to see her take the win in this scenario.
Sure. I mean, you are not alone in that. And I think that that's one of the things that we could talk about more, that there is a scene in this season that the big theme of the season is the role of women. And the struggles that women are facing in Survivor and in real life, it comes up quite a bit in the pre-merge. It is a huge underlying theme of everything that's going on with Kelly and Dan. But there is a prophecy from Rob and Sandra, and that they make a bet that Sandra says to Rob, hey, I bet you a woman is going to win this season. And Rob says, hey, I was born at night, but I wasn't born at last night. You cannot have that in the season if a woman doesn't win. You can't foreshadow the wrong thing.
You mean to tell me that Jon Snow was a Targaryen all along? I'm with you on that one. All the biggest threats in this season were women.
Yes.
They voted out Elaine because she was a big threat. They voted out Janet because she was a big threat and she was going to win the game. Lauren was the last big threat left, and she would have won the game. Like, that the women were the big threats. They had a crazy twist, had to get Missy out.
Yeah.
They separated her from her two allies, and now she's on her own. You know, a crazy twist had to get Elizabeth out. She was, you know, because that she was on the wrong side of those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they made this prophecy. And then of course, a white horse pulls up at the end. She burns down the whole village and Tommy wins. So, you know, I guess it was very weird editing. But yeah, for sure, the women were the stars of this season, and that's why Tommy doesn't get the shine that he wants to get.
Yeah.
Tommy is a good winner because he did the things that we want to see. He did not go to the end with his ride or die and lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
We always like, why don't you cut this person so you can win? And he betrayed her. I mean, he backstabbed her good. He taught Dean like the fire making techniques, and then he sicked Nora on her like, go get it, Nora. And Nora's like, I'm gonna go talk her ear off, and just, you know, and it's painful to watch this woman just watch the game slip away from her. But you want to win, right? Like, we want to watch people who are willing to do what it takes to win, and Tommy was, and that's why he ended up in the end with two goats. I don't care how it looks at the end. I don't care how much Dean was on fire. He was not about to win that game. Sorry.
It is really, it's a good final tribal council that Dean gives a show. It's not going to work, but it's exciting to watch Dean at the final tribal council. But I
he
do,
got,
yeah.
Yeah, he got a whopping 2 votes after that whole entire show. You know, like, and he like high-fiving and like, yep, I really came for you at the end. No, you didn't.
Yeah, but to echo what you're saying about Lauren, too, that she's also really great. She's a great player. She's in this season more than in terms of like coming up with the plans, going back to the Molly vote that, you know, she is like playing her game from the get-go, and that the whole situation, like the way that it ends up getting flipped around to get Kelly voted out, like her and Tommy, like they are have their fingerprints all over that in terms of like getting the control of the game back to Vokai, where it's not going to be anybody from the Orange Tribe going to ultimately having any say in what's going on. So she plays like a really incredible game. Jamal, we haven't talked about. Jamal is great television the whole way through. He gets hosed more on that, but every time he's on the screen, that he is captivating. So this cast is just there's so much more good here than bad. I think that going forward for what the future of Survivor holds. And I think that this was a big concern coming out of going into, you know, season 37 with David versus Goliath. And then Lynn Spillman gets fired, I think, or is parts ways with the show in the early days of season 38. I don't know what the disconnect ultimately was between her and the powers that be with producing the show. But for whatever reason, people were very worried about that. But in the one full season that we get of all new players post Lynn Spillman, that again, one major exception, they did a real, and that guy was in the casting mix for a while. Again, I will never know until the day that I die why they, what they saw in this guy to put him on the show. But for whatever reason that they had him, you know, going through their files for a couple of years and before they ultimately pulled the trigger on him. But the rest of the cast is so good.
Yeah, there's actually, like, there's no duds. I'm, like, looking at the list. I'm like, who's on here? I'm like, no, I actually like, there's something I really enjoyed about each and every character that was on the show. So, yeah, definitely no dud. Well, one dud.
Yeah, super dud.
Big old turd. Justice for Chelsea. Chelsea was my winner pick. I liked her a lot. She was a super fan. She was, you know, she was in the mix. She didn't really do anything wrong. And I will say this, this show, and that's why I kind of have to keep going back to production. This show can make you look however they want you to look. And they made it look like Chelsea was in a showmans with Dean. She never said anything about being in a showmans with Dean. He called her cute once and everybody started saying, that's your girlfriend. And then she, boom, she's gone.
I think they slept next to each other. I think that was the extent of it. Yeah.
God forbid, just sleep next to somebody. You can, in this season, okay, or whatever. But justice for Chelsea. I liked her a lot. Even like in the pre-merge, you got Chelsea, you got Molly, who they made look like Parvati 2.0, or, you know, you had Tom, who was like, he was a professional hockey player. And you had, like, you
know, they Canada. Were,
yeah.
Yes, the first Canadian. First Canadian. Chantel.
He broke the Canadian glass ceiling for Survivor, you know, proper. So I thought that even the pre-merge characters were decent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't touch on Missy, who I think is also very interesting in terms of that Missy is a super hard play. Like, her and Aaron are both interesting in that they both, like, going back and watching this, that they are both, like, dying to make huge moves. That they are both, like, everybody else is boring. That they are going to try to, like, they're going to look at the board. What's the biggest possible move to make at any given point? They're going for it. Missy is very interesting to me that she is just super unemotional about anything. Mm-hmm. Like and just like in terms of like the her dialogue is so interesting in that the things that she says just with like no emotion whatsoever. That I think that she is a really interesting character in the season as well.
Yeah. See, there's a moment, I think, where Karishma is coming to her and they're trying to mend fences. And she's like, Karishma came to me to tell me, you know, that she didn't like the way I was talking down to her. And, you know, she's older than me and she's, you know, she's a wife and a mother, you know, a wife or whatever. And she didn't appreciate that. And I don't care because I'm voting her out. And she was just like, boom, like in mid sentence, like, and yeah, she was saying that I should be more polite and I should do nice things, but I'm going to take her to the end because she doesn't run anything. I'm running this. And it's kind of like, oh, look, a villain. We haven't had one of those in a while. Like, they were trying to make her a villain while there was a bigger villain just lurking. But I thought that was cool. There was, like you said, it was almost not emotional. She did have an interesting exit. And then, like you said, the same thing for Aaron as well. Very much looking for the biggest move on the board. Don't know why he voted for Dean in that case, but okay, whatever. But yeah, those two people, good TV. The first two African-Americans to hold immunity at the same time, which the show had to highlight because they thought they were doing a really great job this season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like Missy and Aaron on television. They were good TV to me.
Yeah, they were good. They were good also. Also, just in terms of beyond the cast, it is the only season in the last year and a half of Survivor that was filmed that does not have the Edge of Extinction. So it has that. It is the meat in an Edge of Extinction sandwich. I guess that's not how you would describe a sandwich. But there's Edge of Extinction to its left. There's Edge of Extinction to the right. No Edge of Extinction here. I also love that it doesn't go to three tribes ever in this season. I've been saying for a while, I'm over three tribes. That we've seen it a million times in the last 6 years of Survivor. We do it too much, too many times. It's like, oh, well, I guess I'm just voted out because I'm in this group of five. It almost happens to Tommy in this group where he ends up with the four women from the original opposing tribe. And he ends up being able to, you know, get the three votes on Missy there with Elaine and Karishma. The three tribes, I just think that we've seen it so many times and there's so few options and people get screwed by the swap so much with three tribes. I loved how they started with two and they swapped to two. And that was really nice to see in this season as well.
Definitely agree. I hate the swap screwed. It's kind of like, oh, I'm playing a great game and we'll have a little bit of a swap and now my game is over. Can't do anything about it because a lot of the Survivors is a numbers game. And so 100% agree that I was happy that that's not the way that they decide to shake the game up a little bit.
Okay.
Definitely.
I'm in the camp of people who don't know, who, you know, who aren't shocked that Rob doesn't like the three tribe format. Rob, can you give any history on the three tribe format?
No, save that for another week. All right. Hey, okay. Look. Listen, 40th season of Survivor, don't start getting a big head because there was a lot of other things that weren't so great here in Survivor Island of the Idols. Okay. We touched on Rob and Sandra a little bit. Okay. This got a mixed reaction from people, Rob and Sandra. Some people said, okay, great. I'm so happy. My favorite players are back. Other people said, really? Giant heads. The Survivor alumni were beside themselves. So they could not believe what happened to my show. Now, why are there giant 25 foot heads of Rob and Sandra? Chappelle, were you pro or anti the concept of Island of the Idols?
The big heads or the concept in general?
Both.
I have two separate opinions. Nah, the big heads, I like that. I like that. I mean, you know, do it every season. Not the island itself, but yeah, just put some random big like totem heads in the background of like random players. Like give us like Dan Limbo Yeah, like random. And yeah, Dan Limbo and Nayaka. We'll just pay homage to Nicaragua next season. But
not
yeah,
Nayaka and Purple Kelly?
Well, you'd have to actually know what Purple Kelly looks like to do that. And so you'd have to Google her. But yeah, so I was pro seeing Sandra on my television as I always am. Did I want them involved in the game? No. Did I care about the things that were happening at the Island of Idols? Sometimes. And then other times you were like, what are you talking about? What is happening here? I could have had a separate show of Sandra and Rob pretending to live on that island the whole time. Give me that. Give me that on like YouTube and I'd watch it. I'd watch the Sandra and Rob sitcom. But if you want me to like buy into this idea that all these people are going there and it's such a big secret. People can't keep anything secret in Survivor for $1 million, but this is the one secret. They're all just shocked to go see these two, you know, masters of the game, you know. So for me, a lot of it came off a little forced and kind of corny, but I like the idea. Could they have made it better? 100%.
Yes, I totally agree with you here. I actually really like the heads. You know, I love Sandra. I love Rob. I love seeing them. I'll always be like, you know what? I don't mind seeing them again. Like, it's just, I just don't mind them ever. Like, it's never going to be like, okay, too much. I've seen enough of you. Like, I'll always invite them back onto my screen. But I think that the whole Island of the Idols wasn't well thought out. It was a good, you know, first round of brainstorming and like, you know, okay, we can have Rob, we have Sandra, and they kind of got the idea going, and then they're like, okay, but then what do?
Right.
And so I think that they could have really worked on it, because I think the first time when Elizabeth came and learning fire, I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then I was like, okay, well, what else are they going to teach them? And so I was kind of wondering how they were going to continue on with the Island of the Idols, and I think it kind of fell flat for me.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's very hit or miss on the Island of the Idols, and I think that a lot of the stuff, they sort of like went top heavy on the best stuff, and there is not much good that goes on there in the post-merge. There's a couple of weeks where they're just not around. I think they had like maybe 3 or 4 good ideas for the Island of the Idols that they ultimately had to do like 8 or 9 segments on the Island of the Idols. But it going to Tribal Council, them being able to give commentary, that was fun. I think that was a good idea. I believe the Fallon booth was what it was known as during the season, inspired by Jimmy Fallon. It was fun to have Rob and Sandra at the Tribal Councils, but the lessons were inconsistent at the Island of the Idols that we had in the very first episode that you mentioned, Chantel, that we see where there is a game of like, okay, do a make fire against Boston Rob. And the lesson was, hey, you should have never taken this deal. This is, you shouldn't have jumped at this chance. Then we bring Janet out to the Island of the Idols. And then for Janet, she has a chance to get safety without power. She says no, because it would screw her alliance. Boston Rob says, hey, congratulations, you made the right choice. But so the advice is better than the potential advantage. Like that was what she got out of that. Just the lesson, that's more powerful than whatever she could have potentially won from the game. Then Dean comes to the Island of the Idols later on in the game and then has a coin flip. He could lose his vote or he could get an advantage. Ultimately, he gets the idol nullifier. And then the lesson there is, hey, you got to take a risk in this game. Which is it? Am I supposed to take a risk or not? What's the lesson?
That's fair. That's fair. You even see the same thing with Elaine and Nora. And this just might be because they're two different people. But Nora gets to the Island of the Idols. And before they can even ask her good, she goes, yep, I'll do it. I'll do it, whatever you want me to do. I got it. Elaine comes like 3 weeks later and they're like, okay, Elaine, we're going to start the clock now. And she goes, I'll do it. And they go, I like Elaine. I like that Elaine. That Elaine, she's so, like, she just jumped right on it. With Nora, they're like, she's crazy.
Hey, she's in Nora world. Name. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And we're all just living it. Yeah. So it was just kind of like one of those things of like, this week it was okay, this week it wasn't. And some of these things aren't practical to use in the game, like Vince's poor thing, and we'll get on Jamal, I guess, in a second. But one of the things I wanted to really discuss is that, like, didn't we already do this? Isn't this like, it started off kind of different, but it ended up being Ghost Island? Like, you just go over there and come back with something or don't come back with something and people think you have something. Mm-hmm. That was it. Like, we're going to go over here. We may or may not come back with something. You might play a game. You might not.
Well, it seems like that this is a problem that Survivor is struggling with here in the late 30s into 40 of Survivor, of how do we hand out all of the gadgets and advantages? You know, we have, as Chappelle mentioned, go to Ghost Island and play a shell game. We have this version of, Rob and Sandra are going to host the shell game here on the Island of the Idols in season 4. Oh, no. Fire tokens will be, how you'll trade your fire tokens to somebody on the edge of extinction for all the advantages. And ultimately, that we don't like the advantages. And second, it burns a segment in the middle of the show every single week. And sometimes you have a reward challenge and then the Island of the Idols and then an immunity challenge. You had like 8 minutes when you weren't at Tribal Council in the whole episode.
I know. And I wish that also back to like the Island of the Idols and Robin Sandra. I wish that when they were in their confessionals, like I wish that actually played into Island of the Idols to a certain degree, or like into getting a lesson from like, oh, I noticed what you were doing in tribal council. Like maybe you should do, I don't know. I just wish that like there was a reason for them being behind there. Like obviously I love their commentary kind of Muppet Show style, but I wanted to see it play out somehow. Yeah. Like it just kind of fell flat. A lot of falling flat today.
Yeah.
For me.
Well, in terms of Robin Sandra, that should they have gone maybe Chappelle with more of like a Big Brother 14 model where it's like, okay, Robin Sandra are coaches and they live at the beach, but they're not playing in the game and not to do like, okay, hit the reset button and now they're in the game, but could we have done more with them instead of just like keeping them confined to being in one segment?
Colin Stone's head would explode if you told me that he was going to have to sit through a season where Sandra and Rob are just hanging out on the beach with these people. Mm-hmm. He would be like, they're coming in the game and they're going to win it all. You know, we've seen that on Big Brother before. I think if you keep promising people they won't come in the game, I don't know.
There was the oath of the idols that they said, hey, yeah, we got this oath right here. It says we will never come in the game.
Listen, I call shenanigans, okay? Mm-hmm. Because at some point, how do we know production isn't just like, go get this person because we need them to get this advantage this week? Like, I don't want to pile on to Dean, but that last trip to Island of the Idols where it's like, okay, this is Dean's turn. Come on out here. Oh, look, an idol nullifier. It's almost like you just saw Janet get that island, that idol. And what would you need to stop her? You know, I don't know.
I do think, does Dean get the idol nullifier before or after Janet has the idol that ends up happening at that point in the game?
I think the way it's portrayed is that they show Janet and Tommy like standing out. Tommy and his mommy. Corny, but Tommy and his mommy are standing out in the cornfields or whatever, I don't know, and the tall grass, and Dean spots them from across the way and he sees them reading something, and then I think later that episode he goes to the Island of Idols and then he gets the coin flip. And I mean the coin flip, that's suspenseful, but what if Tommy had gone to the Island of Idols that time, then he wouldn't have his narrative of like, I've never even had to go there, because you went there anyway, you didn't get to choose.
Yeah.
Also, what was terrible is that why are they just putting their hand in a bag and pulling out the person on the other tribe that's going to be going to Island of the Idols next? Why couldn't they decide who it was? Like, that would have been more interesting, in my opinion.
Yeah, and adding to that, Chantel, that they pick a name out of the bag, but they never show you the name, where it's like, all right, pick a name out of the bag. You don't get to see. Like, then why?
Whoa.
Yeah. I just felt like that. If you're not going to ever show us the mechanism for how it could be, nobody ever went there twice. It felt fugazi in terms of how they handled, like, who was going to go next. A couple times it's like, okay, unanimously select who's going to go. But every time they pick the name out of the bag, I feel like, you know, the same thing that we do in Big Brother where it's like, oh, empty out all the chips in the veto bag. You know, I want to see all the names that are in there.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, and then I could never win a game of Survivor, mostly because I laugh in my sleep and so the people just vote me out for that. But what I think, seeing Jamal go to the Island of the Idols and get a blank sheet of paper and a pencil and then lose the game, you know, and that was his only advantage, was there like, your advantages, don't pick up advantages when you find them. You know, like, when I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, game not for me. Because in my mind, you could be doing whatever you need to do. And now all of a sudden, Rob and Sandra just like decide, hey, we're going to torture a game right now by making you come here, painting you as a threat, giving you a fake thing, and then making people want to vote you out even more. And you can't, it doesn't even help you. And it's giving your enemies, you know, nullifiers and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And all you get is a pencil and a paper. And Rob and Sandra were both on a season where a pencil and paper were present. I want to just point that out. Like, they're like, this is the first time this ever has happened on Survivor. Yeah. Yeah, I have. JT wrote that letter, that love letter to Russell Hance. So, you know, this is not new. I wish Jamal had took that moment to write like a love letter to like Tommy or something instead and been like, you know, XOXO and just gave him like a fake idol or something. I don't know. It was, that just kind of soured, like, hey, this is a random game at this point.
Jamal gets burned so badly on that, where that Jamal finds the thing hanging, like the whole game, Modern Survivor, find things in the forest. Go find things in the forest. Jamal finds something in the forest. We've never once had like a Wile E. Coyote moment where somebody opens the package, explodes in their face. Like, oh, I got zonked. Jamal finds a thing and he says, go to the Island of the Idols, open this up. It's like, hey. No such thing as a free lunch on Survivor. How many other people go to the Island of the Idols, literally get a free lunch from hey, Dean, you want some fish? We're cooking fish today. Yeah. Nora, you hungry? You want watermelon? Jamal, no free lunch on Survivor. But you do get to learn about sabotage, and you get to write a letter to somebody. Do whatever you want. And this is wild. The whole thing with Jamal makes a fake legacy advantage, gives it to Dean in front of everybody to try to get the target on Dean's back. And then Dean makes a fake legacy advantage. I forgot all about this. That I was like, wait, what is going on here? So Dean makes a fake of the fake so he could play it at the wrong time. So people they think he's burned the actual legacy advantage that he has, which he thinks is real, but is also another fake.
Yeah, he almost won the season, according to many people. Yeah, no, he didn't almost do anything. Yeah, that was crazy. That was insane. I didn't like it. I didn't like that Jamal is the only one who didn't get a free... I mean, like you said, Nora completely got a free lunch. She got to sit there. They gave her, they gave Elaine, the keys to the... Like, hey, go back and go find this advantage at the thing. You're going to need... You're at a merge or a tribe swap where the sides are even and you're going to need the numbers advantage, and now you can go get, a vote blocker.
Yeah.
And they gave Jamal a sheet of paper. Dang, at least Nora got watermelon. I would have looked at them crazy had they gave Jamal watermelon, but still, at least they gave Elaine something. Nora got something. This man got nothing.
Well, especially how they dangled it in front of the water well or whatever, and it's like, oh my god, I got something here, you know, and then it's like womp womp. Like, I personally don't find the egg in the face a funny prank or compelling television. Like, I don't see people lose their game in a way that was a booby trap, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not fun for me, especially because you know that they've this is probably one of their dreams. They've gone through months of casting, they've been navigating this game, and then because they picked them, they decided to pull down what they think is an advantage, and it's actually a major disadvantage. I don't enjoy that on my television screen. Mm-hmm. I don't like advantages, disadvantages. Idol nullifiers is something I even hate even more, because it's if somebody is willing to be using an idol to save their game, and they found it or however they received it, and then someone's womp womp, that don't work. I'm not down. I don't like it.
Yeah. Okay. So the idol nullifier, we mentioned Dean goes to the Island of the Idols at the final seven. He flips a coin, wins the coin flip, gets the idol nullifier. By the way, did either of you pick up? What was the lesson that that Dean learned that day? Do either of you recall the lesson that was taught by heads or tails?
No.
That day's lesson was in jury management.
Yes. Yeah. And then Dean walks away from the island and said, I learned a lot about jury management today. Did you?
Yeah.
Tell me more about jury management.
This was
before or after you blocked the nullify the vote?
Yeah. Said, hey, we're going to learn about jury management in this game. You got to make big moves if you want to win over the jury. So heads or tails. Now you can tell the jury that you have this. So that was the lesson in jury management. Why on earth did they put an idol nullifier in the game at the final seven?
Rude.
It's rude. And they just happened to pop up after we saw. And like I said, it could have been just the editing magic. It maybe didn't happen in that order. But the way it's portrayed on the show is that Dean saw this, and then the opportunity just sprung out of midair, almost like it was hanging in the forest for him. As his name's not Jamal. And so, so that's what he ended up with, the idol nullifier to stop the most beloved player of the season. The one, like I said, again, if they knew how this came off, they would try to been getting Janet to the end at all cost. They did not know.
Yeah. You know what? I actually feel like that all of this is evidence that Survivor is not fixed, because if any of this was fixed, I think they could have changed a lot of how this all played out.
Because they thought it was good, Rob.
Yeah,
they thought it was good.
You know, I'm just like, go ahead, Chantel.
I was going to say that I think that they believe that people that don't think that they're going home or go home is a blind side and that it's compelling. Like, I think that they think like, oh, she thinks she's staying, but she's not. That's a blind side. Yeah. Ratings, viewers, they're going to love this, but it's completely different than some people actively playing and doing things. And then they get blindsided. So I think they just don't know actually the art of the blind side actually.
So what I think that they were doing here, and I always want to make sure that we're not being like hypocritical as we talk about these seasons, where you have Ben in season 35, he idles his way all the way to the end of the game. And people are like, well, there should be some way to stop somebody. If somebody's just going to win all the idols, then you have to have some way where you could stop the idols from getting to the end of the game. Same thing, Rick Devins, idol. People are like, well, that's not fair. You know, how are you going to stop somebody if they find an idol every single time? So Survivor says, all right, so we'll put the idol nullifier out there, because then at the end of the game, somebody's finding all the idols. Then so at least somebody has the idol nullifier. You could stop somebody to idle all the way to the end of the game. This time around, you have somebody who would have like capped off the season in a very nice way. She's right there. Gonna like, oh no, well, idol nullify her, so she doesn't get to the end. So instead, Survivor, maybe you have too many idols. Just stop with the idol nullifier.
Too much stuff. Yeah,
too much stuff.
Stopping the idol at like 7 would have been nice. You know, like stop it early, you know, make you have to fight for these last couple rounds, you know, and then that way you don't have to worry about nullifying somebody right before they make it to the end. Because Janet had a road to victory. I mean, once she got to the fire making challenge, according to her, she was going to like just demolish everyone else. And so, I think you could just do less idols. I think people love the idols. And I think that's why this is the island of the idols. I think that at this point they were smelling their own stuff.
If Janet goes on to win this season, do you think, is this the 40th best season of Survivor? If there is some sort of narrative here, you think it's higher than 40, Chappelle?
Oh, yeah. I think that if the story is you had this woman who like jeopardized her game at the merge to stand up for what she knew was morally correct and to say the things that America is thinking and to put production on blast and say, they're not doing this right, but I am going to do this right. And she gets ridiculed and shunned and she has to sleep in the dirt by herself. And then she pulls herself up and she comes back and she wins a challenge and she, you know, makes an alliance and she works her way back in. She gets the idol. She plays the idol because it's not nullified. She wins the fire making challenge. She goes to the end with Nora and Dean. And it's this is, woo, Janet. Woo. Like, I think that is how you fix this season. But they were recording this thinking like, you know, got to get rid of that Janet. They're going to love seeing her fall on her face. And I think that's the opposite of what was happening. I don't think it's 40th. Because you give me like a compelling arc of somebody who, she was an underdog. She thought she was going to go home first because she was old. She made a fire right out the gate on the first episode. Like, that is a good television arc. I prefer that to the Ben Driebergen arc, you know? So I don't think it would be dead last.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think in terms of just like as humans, we want a story. We want something that makes sense. I think that ultimately you look at, that Janet is the hero of the story, that she's able to really make a stand in the middle of the game. She rises to the occasion at the end. And I do think that people have a more positive spin on this overall narrative of the season. But ultimately, in terms of like a story that we're trying to comprehend, it really does not compute. That to go back to, unfortunately, this, the closure on the Dan stuff, that is handled so poorly. You know, we talked about everything at the merge, but in terms of, you have this whole episode with Elaine, and then you go back to camp, and there are 60 seconds left in the episode. Hey, here's Jeff Probst. He comes up, says, just so you know, Dan is not coming back. He's not in the game. You're like, oh my God, what? Did something happen with his family? Was there a family emergency? You don't know. And then there's a card up on the screen and they just give you one card for 10 seconds. that just tells you of what happened on the show. Dan was removed from the game after a report of another incident, which happened off camera and did not involve a player. Okay, thank you. And that's it. And that's next time on Survivor. That's how they ultimately pulled the plug on this thing.
They thought they did something.
Well, definitely, I was very confused because, you know, the editors have been telling the story of the season. And so this is not what I expected, obviously. And I felt like I believe that it was the episode before where I thought that, okay, at least he's going to be voted out here.
Yeah.
And we can just deal with that whole situation maybe after the season ended. But then he wasn't. And I remember being like, wait, what's happening? Like, they're letting him stay on the show. And I was really confused. And I was definitely underwhelmed by how they handled it with just like having a card and then not really addressing it, not allowing even the players to have confessionals about how they feel. Like, I needed to see a little bit of the aftermath of that because it was jarring for us to watch, mm-hmm. especially since we saw the lead up of them telling, like, you know, we see in the beginning, the first episode where like he's a little bit of a friendly person and overtouching. And so I thought that they would have just at least buttoned it up in the episode a little bit.
And I understand, look, you have the footage, you have whatever, they didn't want to handle it in a certain way on the island, but there's no reason you couldn't have done 3 minutes. Hey, Survivor fans, this is Jeff Probst, and I just want to give you a little bit more. Like, they could have done something other than to give you the card. And again, that it's dealt with at the reunion at the end of the three-hour show, but it was just very, very jarring in terms of like, okay, oh, this guy's gone. And then, okay, he was never here.
Yeah. And we don't even get an apology for Janet. Like, they bring out Janet, like, and Janet, come on out after she's voted out. Like, look at this lady. She's old. She made it. I'm like, no, Janet deserves an apology. When that screen turns black and it says Dan is removed from the game, and you get like Janet the next episode going, yeah, Dan was one of my numbers. I really thought that I could go far with him. Da 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 da. And at that point, Janet should be saying, "I told you, I'm glad they finally listened," or something like that. Or, you know, this could have been prevented. You know, but they're just like, "Yep, Janet lost her number in that one. That sucks for her." Continues. You know, I thought that while Kelly deserved an apology, so did she.
Yeah. I mean, they don't even give it the entire like last 60 seconds of that episode where they take him out. Jeff says, Dan's gone. He's not coming back. All right. The game is going to continue. And then we go like to Tommy, like, well, the game moves on. I got like, we didn't even have a second to process. Wait, what happened? And then it's like, hey, game's got to move on.
Yeah.
Gotta keep going.
I definitely would have wanted to hear at least a few confessionals about just like how they were feeling about experiencing someone being ejected from the game. I just don't like that we didn't see everything. Like, you know, I watch Big Brother, I watch the live feeds, so I want to know as much as I can about what's going on. And so I think that it would have been a good opportunity to start bringing a little bit of attention to this because they're going to have to deal with this season after it airs, no matter what. And so I wish that we could at least have seen how the players were handling it on our screen.
Yeah. And also, we spend so much time on the Dan stuff. Like, that's why we can't just ignore it, because the show really spends like two episodes, a double episode, so two eliminations, and then the follow-up episode talking about him. And then when he's removed, no one says anything. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, Jeff, you were just having words with this man at tribal council, you know.
I believe Jeff's exact phrase was, "I will never let this go."
Let this go. He thought this was Jeff's winner edit. I'm telling you, they thought they did something.
Yeah.
They thought, like, Jeff thought, like, man, I got to tell people I've been growing. I talked about sexism because people have accused me of being sexist. I've talked about racism because look at that Jamal thing. We talked about a do-rag. We talked about a do-rag. Look at me. Look at me giving it to Dan. I was giving it to him. Oh, woo, woo, woo. Dan said this and then I said that. You know, just for the show to air and everybody be like, bom, 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 like. So by the finale, he's like, yeah, people had a lot of feedback. Yeah, Jeff. It didn't look that great. You put together something that made you look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what happened.
In terms of how they closed out the season, I also felt like that the Rob and Sandra stuff ended with kind of a thud where they come back in the next episode. They bring everybody out to the Island of the Idols. There's the whole scavenger hunt, which I think is actually kind of fun, where they end up looking for that immunity idol, and Tommy recruits Dean, and he needs his help because he's colorblind, and Dean can see the red, and then Dean gets the idol. But just in terms of the payoff to Rob and Sandra, one, they never reveal to the cast Rob and Sandra are a part of the season. Like, there's, like, I understand, oh, let's keep it a secret at the beginning. There's no point ever in the season where, like, at the merge or anything where they reveal what was going on the whole season. Two, then Rob and Sandra at the final six are just like, all right, we'll see you later. And, like, they don't, I know there were theories that, oh, maybe Rob and Sandra will vote. They couldn't sit in on the final tribal council or anything. It just seemed like that it was a weird thing in terms of like how they unplugged Rob and Sandra from the season.
No, I totally was expecting them to have questions for like in the be part of the jury or something, or comment on people's games that visited them on the or seen their tribal council, you know, showings. Like I really thought that there was going to be a nicer button to having them on the season. It didn't really make any sense. It didn't get closed. It didn't get finished. It was kind of just left you hanging. It was a to be continued kind of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Rob and Sandra had so much insight with these people, I think, because they met with each of them. So everyone who made it to the end, except for Tommy, had been to the Island of Idols once. And so the Dean trip to the Island of the Idols, his jury management lesson, they could have literally said, okay, we've met with all your competitors. Here's what they're thinking. Now you know how to pander to the jury. That would boom, bam, you did it. You did a thing. But like, no, they just kind of hung out. They built a very nice shelter by hand, definitely by hand, brick by brick, bamboo by bamboo.
And what was the point of the shelter? What was the point of that? Okay, Rob and Sandra have allegedly built this two-story shelter in a matter of 9 days, even though Boston Rob is going to be on the next season, and they have like the worst shelter.
Yeah, we had to give Dean some place to do his swinging. They had to give Dean a swing set. They had to give Tommy a place to do his scavenger hunt. They couldn't make it a normal idol search, so they made a jungle gym for these people. And they left them there on the beach with new buffs. And then they just got in the boat and went away.
Mm-hmm. That's it. What if they would have had Robin's, like, everybody moves in at the merge instead of at the final six and Rob and Sandra leave? Rob and Sandra are there, too.
I mean, that could be fun, or like have a couple like episodes where they're teaching them stuff. I don't know. I think that would have worked a little bit better. Just to make sense of having that whole space that's so nice over there. Not everybody got to visit the Island of the Idols. And so if everybody got to finally visit to be like, oh, this is the reveal of the season. Like, mm-hmm. I think it would have been a better timing and felt maybe more complete.
Yeah. Should they ever attempt this again with the Island of the Idols?
I think they could, though. I think they could. It's not the idea that they've ever had. Mm-hmm. I like it better than Redemption Island or whatever. Like, I like it better. I would like to see them have better teaches, though. Like better lessons. I want to see better work there. But I could handle it. But who would the idols be?
Yeah. You couldn't use the same idols every year because who would want to do that every mm-hmm. year? Maybe if you just had them as like the final boss, right? Like, you know, like right before you get to the final three tribal council, you can win a trip to the Island of the Idols and one legendary survivor player will be there to give you a tip to help you win the jury. So like if it's a story of jury management, you go to the Island of the Idols and it's Todd from China. And he's sitting there and he's like, okay, what do you got? And you tell him all the players and Todd, who has been watching from his little confessional booth, you know, whenever, he says, okay, yeah, you got to tell John Robert that he's the biggest threat. You got to tell this person that they such and such. You got to play this up. You got to not do this. And then you can go and execute that however you want. Mm-hmm. Or you can take that information and do with it whatever you want. Like all these survivor players are not perfect. So it's not like they're always going to give great advice, but it could be like somebody you go to at the very end, like your last guru to give you like the power up before you can go beat the rest of the people. I don't know. I think there's something to be found there. I think they tried it a little bit with the Cochrane Island, you know?
Yeah. And that was fun. Yeah. That was one time.
Yeah. But I don't think they need it every season. But yeah, if you told me like, like, oh, like another Edge of the Extinction like season, right? Like you make it to the edge and, you know, you get to talk to Underwood and he tells you, like, no, these are the six things you need to do to win the game. Like, if you do this, the jury is going to vote for you. And they're like, okay. And then you go back in with like, okay, my strategy is to do this, get this person to give me the idol, win the fire making. I have to go to fire making and then I win it and then I do it all. And then you get to see that person's journey to kind of like completing that task. And then when they fall flat, then you can have your big fall on your face moment.
Yeah. Chantel, what if they sort of like had like Big Brother style, somebody come in and like host the reward challenge. And then ultimately like that, you go on the reward with that person. Okay. Parvati's hosting the reward. And then part of the reward is that you have, you know, coffee with Parvati.
No, I love that. Like, I do like bringing in our favorites. As I said in the beginning, like, I like seeing them on our screen. I like what they have to offer, and I really enjoyed their seasons. And so if that was a reward, like having, you know, a chat with a previous winner, like, I think that's an awesome, you know, for TV. We want to see them again. They're not influencing the game in a way that will annoy us. And this person gets to meet their idol or on their, you know, hopefully their favorite show, and they can get some good advice that could help them win. I think it's a win-win situation. So yes, I'm down with the winner's walk advantage or reward or whatever you want to call it.
The winner date. Yeah.
Oh. Winner's date.
Yeah, because Nora's into the dates. But yeah, I think what you're saying is a great point, because even if you bring back a past survivor, like let's say it's not even like just a favorite character, right? It doesn't have to be a great survivor player. It doesn't have to give you valuable information. But let's just put them on the screen for a little bit and you get to talk to that person like they did with Cochran, right? So it's Rupert, right? Rupert probably cannot help you win a game of Survivor. But we would love to see what Rupert thinks at this point, right? Like, you can't work with these people, you know, like that kind of thing. And then you can say, okay, Rupert, you're such a dumbass, and then leave. Or you could say, that's a personal hands quote. That was not a me quote. Yeah. But, you know, or you could just say, like, no, Rupert is my idol. I love Rupert on his season. Let me go and try to emulate Rupert, and then we can watch you fall on your face. But at least we get to see how the player would interact with some of these more memorable characters.
We'll be right back to answer more of your feedback questions about the 40th best season of Survivor. But first, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor, our friends over at Headspace. Even in the brand new year, it's hard to start a new routine. But if you're one of the 34% of Americans who made a resolution to be less stressed, Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations and an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Need help falling asleep? Headspace has wind-down sessions that their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations you could do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. I love playing around with Headspace. They've got all sorts of different guided meditations that you can do. I've tried to do it without the guide and I end up thinking about all these other things. The Headspace app keeps you on track into your journey into meditation. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/Rob. That's headspace.com/Rob for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. That's the best deal offered right now. Go to headspace.com/Rob today. And now back to talking about Survivor Island of the Idols. I want to start to bring in some of the questions that we have from the listeners of Rob as a Podcast as we touch on all sorts of other topics from the course of the season. One of our listeners, Colby, wants to know, what was the best Rob and Sandra moment of the season? Chantel, do you have a favorite interaction that Rob and Sandra had?
I did. I liked the Vince surveillance.
Yes.
Like, I don't even know what to name it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Vince was good also as a character. Those couple episodes that he's on, that Vince is very funny casting. He's really funny in all of his confessionals. And he has a great episode where he goes to the Island of the Idols. He gets an idol and then also gets voted out in the same episode with the idol.
Oh, Vince, I was really
play
sad
the idol.
Sandra was so sad for Vince because I feel like they had a bit of a moment, you know. Vince, when he was first got there, he was a bit emotional, you know, about his upbringing and like his love for the show and all this stuff. And then he managed to do something that's pretty probably the hardest task that anybody had to do, being that he has to go to the other tribe's camp and get fire from them. He ends up bringing back the ash or whatever, and like that was enough for him to receive the two vote idol.
That was weak, Chappelle. That he came back with ash, not fire. That's no idol, I think.
It's not his fault. You send this man to go get fire from a place where fire doesn't exist. You know, like what's he supposed to do? Sit there and like, okay, Vince, your real task is to go there,
make
build
fire.
A fire, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Get the fire, and then leave. You know, So I call shenanigans a little bit on that, but I'm happy he decided to do something because I probably would have just turned around and be like, all right, y'all, the fire's not in, I'm going. Like, he thought about it, and it comes back up because, not to spoil Winners at War, but Sarah Lucina had this same task, mm-hmm. but you know, not from you know her competitors, but you know, she had to sneak over and get something out of the torch. So Vince paved the way for you know, Survivor winner Sarah Lucina.
Yeah. Vince had to frog march so Sarah could run. When Sandra teaches him how to do stealth, but she's like, all right, I'll teach you how to crawl. She's like, all right, I'll teach you how to hide behind the palm frond. That's great. I think we peaked there with Rob and Sandra on this season. I think that's probably a good call there. Chappelle, what is a wilder scene, when Tommy is having the nightmare when Vince shows up, or when you're laughing during your sleep?
Probably me laughing during my sleep, because I'm laughing at stuff like this manufactured nightmare that Tommy had. Like, mm-hmm. you mean to tell me the one day Vince showed up, Tommy's having night terrors and there's no fire? And anything could happen in these few seconds. Like, these people probably had no clue Vince was there. Tommy didn't have any nightmares that day. Vince could have just wandered over there, grabbed the ash, and went. But, you know, we have to make good TV, and we like good TV. So I'll take it. But shenanigans. Shenanigans all around.
Okay. All right. How about, this is from our good friend, Jordan Kalish, has a question for us, okay? Here is the great Jordan Kalish, of course.
Seeds, baby!
He wants to know, where do you think that the pre-merge ranks against other pre-merges in Survivor history? He was really high on the season until the merge, thought it had some great characters and fun episodes. If we were going to come in like King Solomon, cut this season in half, first half of this season, do you have any thoughts on where it would go?
I think pretty high. I was really excited about it. Like, I remember just thinking like, oh, I like this person. It could have been because I love Rob and Sandra and I was like, oh, they're on the screen. And like, that could have influenced maybe me enjoying these characters a little bit more, but I liked everybody. So I would say it would be high. Definitely pre-merge was quite high in my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so. I think they did a really good job of giving these people content that we can kind of hold on to moving forward. Everybody who made it to the post-merge was important in the pre-merge for one reason or another, right? So even though like Elaine makes it very far, but they established in the first episode that this person is the threat. Ronnie wants her out day one. She's a threat. Aaron is her foil. And then Aaron ends up like being a bigger, you know, strategic player later on, not so much making great moves, but he was a big move person and he goes far. They laid a foundation for Missy being a villain because she takes out Chelsea, you know, right from underneath everybody. They make the case for Jamal because he's the king, the queen, and the jack, you know, with the Molly elimination. You know, so they gave us enough to where by the end of the merge, they got rid of all the people, right, pre-merge, but they had built a story around the post-merge people that we're like, okay, you showed enough of the people that we didn't really care about, but they were compelling. And now we get to like have a running arc for each of the people who made it to the post-merge.
Yeah. It's a really good pre-merge. I think that probably the fifth episode, the one where Tom gets voted out, is probably the worst episode of the pre-merge. That's when it's the first episode after the swap. That's probably the biggest dud out of the seven episodes from the pre-merge. But I think if you were going to rank them, I think it's probably around like between like 15 and 20. So I think it's, you know, definitely top half. Let's not get too carried away here, but it's a very good pre-merge here, like a solid B plus pre-merge of Survivor Island of the Idols. A lot of people wanted to hear us talk about the players from Survivor Island of the Idols that should come back. Another question that we got from people is that, do you think that the stigma from this season being the 40th best season of Survivor will prohibit Survivor from bringing these players back in an all-star season? So let's start with that. Chantel, do you think that Survivor will give pause to bringing some of these players back?
I think no. I think that if they're, you know, they've kind of changed how they're going to be looking at casting, we've talked about it with the diversity, et cetera. I think season 41 will be a new era of Survivor. And I don't know if they're going to be dipping back, especially in this particular well, and bringing characters, just because there was, yes, you know, they touched on some issues that were well received, but also it was just such a poorly handled season that I think that they probably just want to, like, let's start fresh 2020-21 and let's have a new type of Survivor that we're offering. I don't think they're going to go back here.
Okay. Chappelle, what do you think?
I don't know if they're going to give this the Big Brother 15 treatment, you know? I just don't know, you know, because, you know, Big Brother, nobody, that season's banned from ever, you know, being on Big Brother again.
I actually forgot. I was like, who? What?
Yeah.
Who?
Oh, yeah. Andy. Alyssa was on The Amazing Race.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was on The Amazing Race. Okay. So I don't think they're going to do that, because I think they did make such a, like, compelling case for a lot of them coming back, right? Like, again, justice for Chelsea. I really think that she could have done great things, but she probably will never come back. But Kelly, they owe Kelly money. Kelly deserves another chance to play this game where she's not under duress the whole time. Now, whether or not she will do it, I don't know, but she deserves another chance. There are some people who come off of this show looking kind of rough, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if they would do it, because I don't know if you would trust CBS with your edit anymore after something like this.
Can we talk about Kelly a little bit? Because I don't think we've done much service to her as a player in the game, because she's a big part of why the pre-merge is really, really good. We haven't talked about her visit to the Island of the Idols. That's another good, like, the Island of the Idols started out strong. They came out hot, where she goes to the Island of the Idols, Kelly and Robin Sander just telling them, like, stories about her life, and they're asking her all these questions. And there's a lot of laughs in that, where then they quiz her about how well that she was paying attention to things. She comes back, she hides the idol in her hair. She is I don't know if she is a great player, like, as a total package. I think that she's sort of like almost like a Spencer, where she's like, just like, she has this amazing strategic mind where she's thinking, like, you know, 19 moves ahead. But I think that there's probably, like, a little bit of, like, a social element that I think is missing from her game. But she was so fun to watch. That tribal council where she ends up, she says, like, she's like in the middle of talking in the confessional. She's like, wait, hold on. I think I had, like, a moment of inspiration, I think is what she says, where she ends up like, oh, okay. So I'm going to give my expiring idol to Dean to have him play it on Jack. But hold on. Wait a second. That's only going to be one vote. What if Nora ends up voting for me? So now I need to talk to Nora and then also get Nora to end up going to vote, where she's like, her wheels are turning so fast. I thought she was great to watch. I do not think she has interest in ever playing again, but she would definitely deserve another shot to play.
Yeah.
100%. Clearly, I felt the worst for her experience on Survivor, because, you know, we've talked about it many times, about this is a lot of people's dreams. They go through a lot with casting, like, getting on there. And just the fact that she had to just deal with this entire ordeal, just like you're saying, Chappelle, is that she was under duress this whole time. So she probably wasn't able to have these social connections completely, because in the back of her head, she's like, oh, am I allowed to say this? Can I say this? Like, ooh, I feel, like, uncomfortable here, but you know what I mean? Became part of how she was navigating her own game. And so I think it distracted her from playing a better game. I think that she might have done a little bit better if she didn't have Dan be part of her story.
Right.
For sure.
Based off of what we saw, I don't think we'll ever know if Kelly was a good Survivor player or not, because I think that the move she was making was interesting, right? The whole, like, brain blast she had in the middle of that confessional, that's my favorite moment of the whole season, because she just stops for, like, a whole beat and just, like, pauses. And then she realizes what she's going to do. And I like that. But like after the her whole exit at the merge is solely based on this Dan mess. And so we'll never know if she could have navigated the merge well because she had to navigate that. And that is what turned half the tribe against her anyway. You know, they some people thought she was making it up. Some people thought she was playing it up. Some people were playing it up. Some people thought, it was all a game. Some people thought she was just, she was in the middle of all of that. And so, of course, I don't know if we will know if Kelly's a good player or not from that, from what we saw. But I saw some promising things there. Again, I hate to pick on Dean this time, but Dean, this woman gave you an idol and you voted her out the very next round.
Ooh.
Shame. For shame. Also, since we're talking about Dean and Nora, can I just talk about these two people for a little bit? These two people make the final three. The moment when Kelly does this, like orchestrates this amazing plan so that no blood gets on her hands. She saves Dean. Nora does the vote thing. When they got back to tribe, Nora snitched on her instantly. Instantly.
Yeah.
They were like, Nora, what happened? And she was like, I just really can't. I can't say it was Kelly.
She's like, somebody told me to do it, but I don't want to say who it is. And Jamal's like, well, you could tell us or you could not tell us. Like, all right, fine. I'm sorry. It was Kelly.
Jamal's like, you don't have to tell us. And she's like, no, I insist. You know, and so like, seeing Kelly navigate somebody like Nora is interesting to me. Seeing Lauren navigate somebody like Nora is interesting to me, right? Lauren hears Nora say, you're my number one. You're the queen. I love you. And that's why they have to get you out of here. But when she hears it from Nora, she's hearing like, wait, if I'm your number one, why? That's not a reason to vote me out. What you should be saying is you are a jury threat. But all she's hearing is, I love you so much. You got to go. And then she she proceeds to hound this woman while she's baking fire and like berate her for not wanting to talk while she should be practicing fire. You have to put out fires like Nora and Dean all the time. I think Ellie was not able to do that. And so I would be interested to see how she plays if she were to play again.
Chappelle, going back to that scene with Nora, after Nora has won the final four challenge again, then Nora gives a speech to, she gets Tommy and Lauren and Dean all together because she is going to announce, she's like the Bachelorette. She's going to announce like who is going to go into making the fire. And she is going on and on and on. And they're all like just tell us, but they don't want to like upset her because she's picking the two people that are going to go into the fire that, and Nora's talking about her game and all this stuff. And then ultimately it's so great. And then she picks Lauren and Lauren is upset. And then she says to Dean, she's like, and Dean, your game is heating up right now. You're on fire. And also you're going to be making the fire. So great. Yeah. It's so great.
She can't even stop talking long enough for Dean to like come and give her the hug. Like Dean's like, oh, thank you. I understand. And she's like, yeah, because listen, because Lauren is the queen and you and Tommy was a shoe-in. And they're like, no, Nora, we heard you. You know, I think this was the first time someone knew they were going into fire so early, right? They normally wait to the tribal council. Jeff asked the question and they're like, okay, this person, that person is shocked because, you know, they didn't really prep like they have or something like that. She tells these people like 17 hours in advance. So all they have to do is all day is sit around and be mad at Nora. And I think that might be another reason why the Tommy win is so underwhelming, because you want Lauren to kind of win that and be like, yes, I am the one who knocks. And she doesn't. So yeah, I think, Nora's great. She's great TV. Great TV.
Okay. Should she be on the list to play again?
Oh, my God. You know how Debbie is great TV?
Yep. Yep.
Once.
Yeah. But can you watch Debbie every season? Maybe, maybe not. You know, maybe not. Philip Shepherd, great TV. Every season. You kind of want these people to be able to play with competent game players as well.
Yeah.
Or people who are going to actively try to benefit them if they're in alliance with them and not going to like throw them under the bus at the first, you know, whatever emotion they feel. So for the game players, no, I don't want Nora on my television again. But if Nora was to come back, I wouldn't complain too much.
Well, that's a really good point you bring up in terms of some of the other people that are sort of like these like wild card characters who are electric, eat up the screen time the first time around. The second time doesn't tend to go that great. The audience does not always like them as much the second time around. And I wonder, could that be the case?
Yeah. Nora goes home and she's seeing the hashtag Noramo, you know, and stuff like that. And so now she's got a catchphrase. She's Nora with like the zingers.
Yeah. Is it performative the second time?
Right, right. She said at the end, this is me. I am being myself. And the second time she's being Nora, the character from Survivor. And so everything's a blind date. Like it's date time with Nora. And I had to go date this person and date that person. And I had to find out. It's basically The Bachelorette again. And so I don't think you can do that too many times with a character like Nora, or she ends up looking like Rupert.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, she is great. Just about every spot that she's in this season, though, I will have to say that I thoroughly enjoyed her on this rewatch. All right, Elaine, as a returnee, I think that she will definitely play again.
I think she, if we're just going to compare her with Nora, I think that she is more likely to play again than Nora would.
Yeah.
I think it's because she knows who she is as a character and what she gives off. And she plays into it and isn't kind of offended by it as well. And so I think she's just unapologetically herself.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what we really like about her. And also what we like about Nora, but what you're saying, Jafal, is that Nora might kind of buy into her brand. And I think that Elaine leans into her brand and just allows herself to be more herself. So I can see Elaine playing again.
Yeah, I think if we were going to do the power rankings of who is most likely to return from this season or a draft, I think I would take Elaine number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
What about Janet?
She's up there.
I think she had the arc that she's going. Like, this is, I think this was the best case scenario TV for Janet, right?
Yeah.
She had a villain that she didn't even know she was fighting. She, you know, she's the older woman who didn't get voted out for. She's so likable. But I think if this person comes back again, there's no way you're keeping her past the first round. Mm-hmm. You know, like she might be, you know, she's older. So you can always say, oh, she's probably a liability in challenges. They love doing that to older people. So you can always use that.
But she's actually very good around the camp.
She is, but that's what I'm saying. They're going to, like, the returning season, they see that. They don't really care, right? They know that camp life doesn't really matter that much. Like, people live on the edge of extinction for you know, 40 days and 40 nights, and they're fine. But, you know, like, I think this, when you see Janet in that arc, you're like, oh, no, she has to go, because if she makes it to the end, people might just give her the money because she should have got it the first time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I kind of think that she would do okay in a returning player season. I feel like that she would find her way in with, like, the Brad Culpeppers and the Troy Zans of, like, hey, we're the old school loyal people. I think that she would, she'd be around for a bit, I think.
Yeah, I would hope so. If she's going to give us the same type of content that she gave us this time, but you never know.
Okay. What about Lauren as a returnee? I think that she would want to play again. I think that the show really liked her. Do you see Lauren as a returnee?
100%.
Yeah.
But I think, though, for me, I was just thinking about it. I was like, yeah, Lauren. But I think I only can see her winning. Or if I don't see her win, I will be really upset with her returning for whatever
reason. That's the only acceptable outcome.
I think so. Unless she plays a really good game and somebody else just actually played better. But, like, I feel like seeing her come back, I have to see her win. Like, that's kind of, a contingency of her returning.
Chantel, you have very unrealistic expectations.
She better come back and win.
She's very good. She's a very good player.
Look, I'm with Chantel on this one. We don't need another Sari. You know, we don't need another one who comes back and we love her and they can't, you know, the fire takes her out and then Tom Wilson takes her out and then this crazy apocalypse takes her out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like every time we're like, but she should have, you know, she could have. So I'm with Chantel on that one. I would like her to come back and win or don't come back. I like the legacy as it stands.
I think she could come back either way. I'm okay with that she should come back even if she doesn't win. It's very hard to win, Chappelle.
So I've heard. Are you going to talk to us about the three tribe format again or no?
No. Okay. I think Lauren is, my number two on the drafting in the New York Jets spot. I think that is probably, she's my number two pick for most likely returnee from this season.
Do any of the men come back?
Well, I would say that the number one most likely man to return, how about Jamal?
Okay.
I think that he feels that he got duped by the show and he would want to come back just to see how well he could do without the booby trap. Mm-hmm. So I can see him coming back. I'd be interested to see how he plays because he's quite intelligent. And so I feel like he would learn from his mistakes and he might do a good job. So I can see him coming back to prove something for sure.
Yeah. I could see the show wanting him to come back as like their puppet for morality. Like, Jamal, give us your take on this. And Jamal's like, well, you know, I think in this, da-da-da-da-da-da. And he says the thing and they're like zooming in on Jamal. And they're like, look at what we did this season. We talked about race. We talked about this. They were hot topics. You know, like, I think that's why you bring back Jamal, because you want that narrator, right? You want somebody to tell you so we can all say how great the season is going, because that person put it into words that we can understand.
Yeah. And the dance moments.
Oh, yeah, the dance is great.
Yeah. Jamal gets down.
Him finding the idol is a great scene. That he does, like, a whole, like, monologue, and he talks about how, like, there was a time in my life I wasn't treating myself with grace, and he's got, like, and
got
something.
Out of a relationship recently.
Yeah, and then here's and then you find, like, in the quiet moments, like, he finds the idol. That's really great. He got the Sia money, Chappelle.
He did get Sia money. Sia money, some people say it's hard to come by. Some people say, you know.
Yeah.
Some people get it, some people don't. But yeah, he got Sia money, and that's a good omen. That means people liked him.
But he only got 15K, where Elaine and Janet got 100K.
Look, you tell me Janet got 100K, and I say yes. You tell me Elaine got 100K, and I say yes. You tell me Jamal got 15K, and Elaine got 100K, I'm like, yeah. what did Elaine do that was so goddamn good? Mm-hmm. I like Jamal as a character because he was flawed, right? Like, Jamal in the pre-merge, they made him arrogant. Like, oh, he's running this tribe. And then in the merge, he was like Jamal the underdog, and he was finding the thing, and he was being creative, and he's giving us the narratives that we want to give him. And he gives mean side eye. Like, when they zoom in on Jamal and someone's doing something, he's the one who's cutting his eye, like raising his eyebrow, kind of giving them a look like, get that out of here. You know, and so Jamal's telling the story with his face the whole time. You can't, that's good casting. I think he's the only man on the list that I would see having to come back unless they did like another winter season and they needed to bring back Tommy.
But they didn't bring him back for this winter season. I guess it would have potentially spoiled it. I guess so.
Like, we've got it, Tommy, our third place. You know, like,
but I mean, only for the people that look these things up on the internet. Like, it wasn't like that they announced the official cast before. You know, there were reporters there, so maybe it was out. But I don't know if he was going to necessarily make the cut. What about DK Chillin? Prospect of Dean playing again? I really came to like Dean by the end of the season.
Maybe, because I think that's still happening. He's dating Michelle Fitzgerald. I think that there's still...
What?
Yeah. Wait,
this is breaking. I didn't know this.
Robbie, you're behind the curve.
They're still together.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. So,
blood versus water.
I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if they're still together, or even if they're not together, kind of challenge style, that they have maybe a themed season where they would be playing as either rivals or ex-lovers or lovers.
Can't believe it.
Yeah.
Oh, three tribes.
Did you know there's another couple, Rob? I don't know if they're still together as well.
Oh, hold on. I'm trying to brace myself. This is so exciting. Please, I wish this was the whole podcast. Just tell me more couples.
Jack and Elizabeth.
Oh, no.
And Jack and Jamal. Oh,
okay. They weren't at the finale. That's one of the things on my list of bad things, of like weirdness of Jack and Elizabeth just aren't at the finale. What? Why? There's no explanation. Is Elizabeth mad at the show or what?
No.
And Jamar and him are roommates. I don't know if they still are, but
They used to be roommates.
That's another one of those sitcoms I would watch. Okay, Rob. Let me sell you on the three tribe format right now, okay? You got Michelle Fitzgerald, you got DK Chillin, and you got Wendell, and you got Survivor X on the beach.
Yes, I like it. Okay.
X on the beach would be really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or two tribes, and she's the idol, right? Like, so you like, Wendell's tribe has to go visit Michelle this week and talk about how they kicked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. You talked me into it, Chappelle. Let's see. Some other people that could be potentially in the mix. I think Karishma, if she wanted to do it, I think could be in the mix, but I think that Krishma was like the first player ever to say, yeah, you know what? I actually didn't like this. I'm not interested in playing again.
How dare you? Jerry Manthi cried on stage, so Krishma
and she
walk,
played
okay?
again after that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You have low lows and then you have high highs. Mm-hmm. And Jerry almost won the third time she played. She wasn't that far off, you mm-hmm. know? And so give me Karishma, who has now earned, like, she's done Survivor now. So now she slept outside. She knows how to deal with the elements. She knows how to deal with being lonely. She is like somebody who they look up to, and she can lead her tribe, David Wright style, I don't know, to mm-hmm. to victory. And they look at her and she is now on this, you know, like she got off the couch, you know, or something like that. Like, I liked Karishma. I think they gave her a good story. She was downtrodden from the beginning. Her husband came, they cried. There was some wonkiness with how they portrayed her husband in the beginning. And then, mm-hmm. you know, at the end, we loved all of that. And then she plays the idol and then she goes home when there's like chaos at the tribal council, and then like there's nothing else, there's no one else to vote out but her, you know. Like, I like that. I think if she played again, which she probably wouldn't, but if she played again, I think she would be a good TV if she got the
she was
like,
great TV arc. This time, yeah.
Oh yes,
I think she actually might play again because she Ooh. Played sequester, and I think that and she did quite well, and so she might have gotten like the ooh, maybe I can do this, like, you know, maybe coming at it more of a strategic perspective and be like, I'm coming back in to win. And yeah. so I could see her coming back to prove something to herself and maybe to the audience as well.
I feel like the elements really she did not care for.
Yeah. Yeah, that it was tough on her, but I think it's probably not as bad the second time out, you know. And I could see her coming back. This would be a perfect time for Karishma to come back because, you know, like you said, she played sequester and she could be the reason why people are tuning into the show every week. She is bringing fans to Survivor. They can fall in love with each of you.
Yeah.
And then they can all give themselves a round of applause. Karishma could be that person. Y'all don't I love her. She's great. She's great.
She is great.
Yeah.
This ties in nicely to Mike Edwards wants to know, what are your personal silver linings from this season? And I let me start because the Karishma loves Applebee's, her favorite sit down restaurant that they bring. They announce it. These people go nuts. We talked about this for months of how much they loved Applebee's. The Shark Bowl was a thing.
Okay, I don't think we have Applebee's in Canada, so I've seen the commercial many times, but
Chappelle, could
tell
you describe Applebee's for Chantel?
Are you familiar with Chili's, Chantel?
I mean, in the same capacity that I know Applebee's, so not so much.
Then you know what Applebee's is. There is a chain of, like, there are chains of American-style cuisine that just do cuisine just good enough for it to be edible all the time, but not good enough for you to ever really crave it. And you got like your Chili's, you got your Applebee's, you got Cheddar's that is just a little step above that. You
TGI
got
the Fridays.
Fridays. You got the Cheesecake Factory is just a little step above that. You got Red Robin. You got, like, this is all the same restaurant with a different name. You got Grand Lux, which is just a little step above the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
This is all, like, those TV dinners that you get, like, those, like, Stouffer's. Like, that's basically what they're all of these places have that same meals, right? They all got like a shrimp pasta and like
a menu that's as many pages as my Island of the Idols notes.
Right, exactly. Lackluster steak. In steak terms, it's the Outback of restaurants, right? Outback is the Applebee's steakhouse.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like just food that you like, hey, somebody's having a 13th birthday. Where are we going to take them? Mm-hmm. You know, too old for a play place, but too young for, you know, like, fine cuisine. Let's go there and get the and the bread is always the best thing at any of these places. Yeah,
I love Applebee's.
Here's more shenanigans. I love Karishma, but I am from Houston, Texas.
Yeah,
she is from Houston, Texas. She said her favorite place to eat is Applebee's. Now, girl, stop lying. Houston got some of the best food in Texas, and you are not telling me that you love Applebee's. That fried apples are that damn good, girl. You know, like, this Apple-rita, it's fine. It's fine. You know, the drinks are cool. They're cheap. Mm-hmm. They taste like it. You know, like, this, they were doing a lot. It was kind of like they said, okay, you guys, play this up for the cameras. And they just went full, like, they went nuclear. Like, people were crying. Like, oh, my God. Like, Applebee's, Jesus Christ, thank you, God. Yeah. Meanwhile, fast forward to their breakfast that they get. They get, you know, bacon. They get eggs. They get waffles. But they were spoiled on it. They don't even flinch. I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right. Start the tape over.
Yeah. Jeff was so mad when that Lauren told them all about the breakfast. He's like, all right, we got breakfast. And they're like, like no reaction from that. And Jeff's like, what's going on? They're like, that's it? No reaction? You stole my thunder.
Right. If I'm him, I'm like, cut. All right. Pretend I have Applebee's here. Let's try this.
Yeah.
Like, it would be better if he said, like, we got breakfast, and they don't react. And then he's like, or behind door number two, Applebee's. I'm like, ah! like the Price is Right. Like, do you want door number one or door number one? It was insane.
Do you think that Jeff didn't get the memo that this was part of what Lauren had to do, and they already spoiled the fact that they're getting breakfast?
The man acted like he wasn't even hosting the show. Like, tribal council, he seemed genuinely interested in what was going on with Dan. Like, so tell me about that. You know, what's happening? So it sounds like XYZ is happening. Well, it sounds like this too. Are you sure? What did you talk to production about that? Do you know anybody who worked for production? Have you seen them? Like, he was not, it's like he wasn't there. So when they had that moment with the breakfast, I too thought, you know, maybe Jeff didn't even know. Maybe he was like busy. You know, he just showed up like, and then Lauren just kind of spoils it. Like, we might've had a hint from the island of the idols. And he's like, oh shit, there's people out there? Is that what those big heads are? No? Is that Rob?
That would explain so much if it was just like, yeah, Jeff was like very disconnected from everything else that was going on. It's like, oh, okay, you got Rob and Sandra on the days there's no challenges. Okay, fine. Yeah. All right.
He's like so busy on the phone, like, with the handlers for all these other past Survivor players. Like, no. Tell Kim Spradlin she can't have all red Skittles. We need her back. We need her back. You know, so he didn't have time to focus on what was going on in front of him, which is why he thought this was a good season. And so, yeah, I'm not sure if he was all the way dialed in. I'll say that.
Yeah. Okay. Any other personal silver linings from this season? Any other great moments that we didn't talk about? Off the top of your head?
Elizabeth's eyes deserve their own confessional. I'm just checking my notes.
I thought Chelsea starting the fire was a cool moment, as well as Janet starting the fire.
There was a lot of that the women were, with the exception of Lauren versus Dean at the final four, there was a lot of the men are bad at starting the fire, and women are actually really, women walk up to the fire like.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was happy about it. What else do I have?
Yeah.
Oh.
Where she has Jamal in the background going like I want to make the fire, and they're like, well, maybe I think it's Jack. You know, Jamal's like other half goes, well, have you considered letting someone else try? And Jamal's like, you know, I might do that. And then Chelsea just goes over there and like with a match, like like a flamethrower.
There's another really great moment. This is episode number 3. And they are at the camp, and Karishma is talking about how she doesn't fit in. And Karishma cuts her hand with the knife. And she is bleeding, and she says that you can see the bone. And she is curled up in the fetal position on the ground. And they do not even pay her any attention whatsoever. They do not even walk over to her. And she's like, my hand is bleeding. Nobody even gives her the time of day, Chappelle.
Yeah, it's kind of like they like stepped over her too. Like, could you get your bloody hand out the way? God, you're always crying about something. She's like, I'm dying. They're like, well, die over there, God. So that's why I said she had a great arc. I even like the part when she goes looking for the idol. Right, she's having the worst day of her life. She's crying, like she's just low energy. And Nora's like Karishma, you got to go do something. Go pick up firewood or something. So she mopes off to go find firewood. She picks up 2 logs and then finds the idol. And then an hour later, comes back with those same 2 logs. And Nora goes, Karishma, where have you been? It's been 2 hours. And she's just like, huh? She's like, where have you been? She's like, I'm sick. And they're like, you want us to call medical? We probably need to call medical. She's like, no, don't call medical. I'm fine. Yeah. I just need some water. Get out of my business. God, I'm 39. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's great. Another quick one is, so Chelsea gets voted out and Dean goes on the warpath to try to figure out what happened, and he becomes Detective Dean. And Detective Dean is on the case, and he's going out and starting to like ask everybody in some interrogations about who did it. He rules himself out as a suspect. He knows that he doesn't do it. And then he ends up barking up the wrong tree with Missy, who tells us in confessional, it's like, yeah, I did it, Dean. I voted out your girlfriend. Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Tell Cersei it was me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dean, you know, Dean.
I like the Detective Dean segment. You know, I was into the playfulness of that. It was good.
Yeah.
Silver lining, for sure.
That was great. I wish we would have got more of that. I also liked it when Vince goes to the Island of the Idols and then Dean says to everybody, okay, good. Well, he's gone and then we'll just split the vote.
You're a second place winner of the season, Dean.
Two votes.
And Karishma's like, who, me? I like when Vince comes back from the Island of the Idols and he's like, well, girl, Karishma, get it together because they're about to vote you out. Like, he has no patience for her at all. She's like, well, what are we going to do? He's like, well, could you go tell somebody to vote for you? Damn. Like, leave me. Well, get away, girl. Didn't you just cut your hand open? Go away. Yeah, I liked it. There were a lot of good, funny moments in this season.
Yeah.
I thought that they set us up incorrectly here when they're like, Vince has the thought of like, oh, I'm going to bring my idol to, you know, council. If I get wind of, you know, feeling unsafe, I'm going to play it. And so I just was like, okay, play it. Okay, play it. Okay, play it. And then he doesn't play it. And then he gets voted out. I was like, the misdirect wasn't satisfying for me at all. Like, just don't tell me that he's bringing it to tribal. Like, I wasn't happy.
I don't blame Vince. If the alternative to me going home is Karishma going home and she's literally on the floor bleeding and no one cares, he's like, I'm probably safe this round.
Mm-hmm. Like, you only played two rounds. You might as well take the 100%, oh, yeah. I would think.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. But like I said, I think even he thought Karishma was going home. He was like, listen, this woman just had a whole, like, she had a disaster and no one looked twice. So I'm assuming that she's going tonight. I'll be all right for one more round.
Karishma had a rough experience every step of the way. People were so mean to her on this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another bright spot was when they go on that big scavenger hunt at the final five and then Dean ends up finding the idol from out from Tommy. I like this moment, and Dean gives us the confessional.
Tommy's kind of playing a little bit of a fourth grade game, man. I'm out here teaching advanced algebra out here. Come on, step your game up, Tommy. Come on, man.
Yeah. Advanced algebra. Look, Mom, look at all this bling. Okay. Mama, look at me now. That was the name of the finale episode. All right.
Stop it.
Ben Taub, speaking of the finale, outside of the controversy, my biggest personal complaint about the season is how inevitable a Tommy win felt after episode one. Are dominant wins always going to make worse TV, or are there ways that the editors can make them more interesting? Okay. In terms of watching the show, in terms of the edit, was it a predictable Tommy win, and did that take away from the season? What do you think, Chantel?
I don't think it was a predictable Tommy win. I wasn't really rooting for him to win. So maybe unpredictable in the sense of like, oh, he's going to win it. Oh, okay. I don't think that it was, I saw it coming and I don't think I cared that I did see it in the end.
Yeah.
I don't even agree that I saw it from episode one. Now, get me wrong. I'm not one of those edgy people, right? Like, I'm not looking at the confessional count and what are they talking about? Just from a television perspective, there were so many red herrings that were saying a woman will win this season, right? Like, Rob and Sandra are literally making a bet about it and all this other stuff. So I don't think they really telegraphed the Tommy win unless you were looking for that kind of thing. I will use that caveat because some people were looking for that kind of thing. But for me, no, I noticed that Tommy was probably going to win once they started to say how much of a threat Lauren was. And I was like, oh, no. You know, it kind of, for that, at that point, after the merge, because before the merge, they really didn't, you know, she wasn't like a huge threat to anybody. But after the merge, when they stopped focusing on Janet and Elaine a little bit more, and they started going, hey, that Lauren character needs to go. That's when I was like, oh, okay, Tommy's probably going to get rid of her. But episode one, no, not at all.
Yeah. I felt like that the Edgic people were really like, keep your eye on Tommy. And there's a lot of times on the rewatch also, like he gets the last word before a lot of the votes. And I think that you really do see what he's thinking. Like the guy puts in a lot of work in this season. So it's a very deserved win. But I do think that there's a lot of, because going down the stretch where you're hoping for a lot of different things, that it's just like there was, you know, Tommy, where it's like, boy, how are you going to ultimately get this guy knocked out of the game if you're not rooting for a Tommy win? It almost happens a couple of times that it comes close. There's a point at the vote where they end up going into two tribes. And then ultimately, if Missy is able to deal with the Karishma situation in a better way, they've got three votes with Elizabeth and Missy and Karishma to take out Tommy. Then also, if Dean is able to vote with Nora and Elaine and Karishma at the final seven vote, also, that's another spot where they're able to potentially vote against Tommy. But both times, it does not happen. People were coming. People were coming for him. Ultimately, they never got him. Connor McBride wants to know, what was the best strategic move of the season?
I'll give it to Tommy.
Yeah,
I'll say that Tommy's play at the final four is masterful. Right?
Yeah.
The thing he does is his Lauren has no clue Tommy wants to vote her out. For one, like Lauren thinks that her and Tommy are taking this to the end because I think she's identified that she's going to beat him. So she's not looking at it from his perspective, like, which is why would I want to lose to this person? And so she doesn't see it coming. Then you got Nora, who, you know, you tell her something and she believes it and then she just goes with it. And so he's like, Nora, one time he's like, oh, I suck at making fire. And she's like, good. Great. I'm not going to use you. And, you know, Tommy's making fire all the time. He's like, oh, well, I can make fire in a heartbeat. I just didn't want to. And then Tommy goes and helps Dean in the meantime, you know, and like plays up the Dean thing. And then he also sticks Nora on Lauren and said, Nora, don't let her breathe. She can't practice fire if you are constantly yelling at her and threatening to hide the machete from her and snatch this win from her clutches. Like, he did everything right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got to sit at the end with Dean and Nora. I think that is Tommy's best strategic play, because anybody else in the final six or seven players, except for Dan, probably could have beat him. Like Janet probably would have beat him. Elaine probably would have beat him. Lauren would have beat him. But he got to the end with the goats. He had his dreams and he had his
the goat army reporting for duty.
Right. And Dean is the captain of the goat army because he's not in it. You got two goats. You're still a goat.
Yeah. Chantel, do you have a pick for best strategic move of the season?
I guess what I enjoyed the most, I didn't even realize it was this much of a Lauren stan until I was rewatching this, but I think I really liked how she was able to, you know, use her experience at Island of the Idols and come back, convince people to do this and get the outcome that she was intending to get. Like,
yeah,
those things are difficult to do, but she's such a good social player that she was able to do that. Nobody even thought anything suspicious of it, like nothing at all. And she got the outcome that she wanted. So I thought that, you know, it wasn't necessarily a strategic move, but she was able to use her social strategic abilities to be able to convince these people to do this.
Yeah.
So I thought it was pretty good.
She's a super talented player. There's the point where Karishma is talking with Elizabeth in the hammock and Lauren's like, hold on, I'm like in the zone right now. I'm reading lips. The game is slowing down for me. She just said, okay, go over there. So she really has moments where she shines in the season. I would say, I think this is probably a co-move, but going back and watching how the whole post-merge plays out, I really do think that Lauren and Tommy voting out Kelly at the merge, and ultimately, I think that they should get the most credit for doing that. The whole post-merge is completely different. You know, Kelly comes back and has a conversation with Tommy and with Lauren about what do they want to do. And they're like, okay, well, you and Janet vote with us, and we've got this group, and let's vote out Dean and Karishma. And Kelly's like, no, I don't like that plan. I don't want to do that. And they realize in that moment, we can't work with Kelly. She's got her own things. She doesn't want to fold back in with our group. And so they make the decision, okay, we can't trust her. Lauren ends up telling Missy, like, hey, you know, Kelly's talking about you. We've got to go ahead and get rid of her. And then Kelly has two idols at that tribal council. She turns to Lauren and is like, hey, Lauren, am I safe? And Lauren's like, you're good. Don't worry. And ultimately, they get Kelly out. I do think that the game is completely different and
in a potentially much better way because Dan is the other person that could get voted out there. And I think that really talk about a completely different,
timeline for how this season plays out. But in terms of Tommy and Lauren, and in defense of them, they did not know exactly all of the different moving parts that were going on at that vote. I do think that they completely altered the course of the season and in a way that favored them much more, where they both end up getting to the final four by making the move that they did not have to make. There was no urgency to vote out Kelly at the merge, but they did at a point when it was a very aggressive move to make, and it ultimately works out well for the two of them.
Yeah. Kelly went, I think she went too hard too fast in the season.
Yeah.
So like, her big flashy move with Dean is like Natalie Anderson playing the idol for Missy, you know, that kind of thing. I think in that moment, or what is her name? Jacqueline. Yeah, she played the idol for Jacqueline. But I think that kind of moment is like saved for the end. That's like your big finale.
Right.
She did that before the merge, and Nora and Dean just go snitch. Like, they tell everybody. So then when they're talking about who's the big threat at the merge, they're like, did you see what Kelly did? She is crazy good. And then they're like, yeah, she is crazy good, huh?
Yeah.
And so she became the target because she went, because I think she had the sexiest move on the season. That Dean
for
thing,
sure.
That was cool.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is, it was so flashy that it blew up in her face instantly. Like right after it was over, it fizzled out and just dissolved.
That night, before they went to bed, it was over. Because she didn't tell Janet and Jamal that it was happening. And then she trusted Nora as a person to, like, it would have been, she could have just give the idol to Dean. It's like, hey, Dean found an idol. She would have got away with it. When she got Nora involved to be that second vote, that was the patsy that was ultimately going to lead them back to her. That was really great. And I do think that the expiring idols, you can use this idol for two votes, you can use this idol for three votes. We saw it ultimately cause Sandra to make an unforced error in Winners at War when she tries to get Denise to vote against Tony. That I do think that those create a lot of like a timer that is going to go off and causes players to potentially make bad moves. So I think that that is a good thing in modern Survivor.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Did Sandra see Kelly do this thing with Dean and think, I got an idea, I'm about to do this thing too? Because she saw it work out for Kelly. You know, she was in the booth looking. Like, oh, she gave the idol to Dean.
So it's a good question.
She was there.
Yeah, she knew that I don't know if Sandra ever put it together in terms of what happened with, like, did Dean just find an idol on the beach, or did he use an idol that Kelly, because Kelly's like, whoa, what happened? I don't know if she knew like exactly how it came together.
If she did, that's pretty cool, because even in the moment, Kelly says in her confessional thing, she's like, huh, if I do this, I could give it to Dean, he can vote how I want, blah, 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 and then I can make Nora do this, and then I will come through this without any blood on my hand and get rid of this person that I am, you know, potentially working with, da 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 da. And then Sandra goes and does the same thing, because Kelly says, I could do that, but if I don't do it correctly, I could go home. What's stopping Dean and Nora from just voting for me at that point? You know? Mm-hmm. And Sandra goes and does exactly what Kelly telegraphed. She does it one season later. Mm-hmm. So in that aspect, yeah, that's pretty cool. I think it kind of just came back to bite her in the butt. But she saw it happen the first time.
Okay. I want to reveal the results of some of the polling we did of the audience coming into talking about season 39, the 40th best season of Survivor. We are going to put out a poll every week on Mondays. When you go to robisawebsite.com/top40poll, we will put out a poll about the next week's episode, which we will tell you what it's going to be very shortly. We polled the audience. Who was the most underrated player of the season? A guess?
Chantel.
Underrated. I'm just looking at my list here.
I like when you go through your notes. This is fun.
Maybe Karishma.
Okay.
She's number two.
Okay.
I think they probably went with Elaine for underrated player.
No, I think Elaine was probably properly rated. 22.94% of the audience said Lauren, most underrated player of the season. Okay.
They're not rating her high enough then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the season's MVP?
The audience had 31%.
Nora. Lauren. MVP.
And yeah. I had Janet.
Yeah. Chappelle, you are feeling it. 31% of the audience said Janet is the MVP of the season.
She legit could have been a producer this season. She fixed it.
Okay. Which one player would you most like to see come back and play again in a future season?
Ooh. Pick one, Chantel.
We already said Lauren, so I'll just stick with Lauren. Come back and win, though.
Yeah. I'm with Chantel on this one. Bring back Lauren.
Yeah, I would have guessed it was going to be Lauren also. The audience said Kelly Kim. 19.4% said they would most like to see Kelly come back. Jamal was 2 at 17%. Lauren, 12.46%. Okay.
Yeah.
Which cast member made you pause and think to yourself, wait, who's that? There was a drop down of all the players. Who did people vote for as the person that they, wait, who's that?
Tom the Canadian.
Oh.
Because I forgot about him. I'm like, oh yeah, that guy. He's probably for me the least memorable character of this season.
I agree. Yeah. Just in that archetype of people, he's the least memorable one I could think of right now, and I couldn't think of him before.
Okay. Maybe you're forgetting somebody else. Molly Byman, the audience voted. 27% of the audience said Molly was the wait, who's that person? Elisa
I wouldn't
Kiefer.
Be able to call out her name. So, okay. Like, if you put her picture up, I'd be like, who's that? I would say, who's that?
They called her the Parvati 2.0.
Yeah, there was fancy branding on the on the Molly thing, right? Like, it was the King, Queen, and Jack. So that reminds me of Molly, whereas they weren't like it was the King, Queen, Jack, and Tom.
Yeah. Tom, he gets 18.5%. And then Ronnie Barta, first boot, 12.7%. Any thoughts on Ronnie? I thought that he was actually pretty good for a first boot. He just ends up where he identifies right away. Elaine, yeah, we got to get rid of Elaine. She's got too good of a story. She's going to, and then they give him like a dodo thing with when he said that he had a million jobs.
That's all I really remember on him is like, just like the going on and on about like, I did this and I did this and I worked as this and worked as this.
He was fine as a first boot.
Yeah. Didn't really see his gameplay. I don't know if I care to see it again, but I've seen more boring first boots in my lifetime. So yeah. He was all right.
Okay. He was like a pawn for that like storyline of like the person who's going to go home first ends up going really far. Like so, like the David Wright, the Cochran, you know, that person who is going like this was the Elaine story. So she had to get past this first hump to go and be Elaine who gets $100,000 for being Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So all right. We asked the audience, we have a Kelly Wentworth Award for Best Pre-Merge Boot. Who did the audience vote for the Kelly Wentworth Award for Best Pre-Merge Boot of the season?
They probably going to give it to Jason Linden, but I would give it to Chelsea. I told you, justice for Chelsea.
That's it. Yeah. I'm going to give it to Chelsea as well. Just the foreshadowing of talking about, like, everybody loves a good blindside. And she just so, and, you know, you hear Sandra be like, yeah, she got her blindside. And, like, I liked that. I didn't like it happening to her because I know that she's auditioned, like, 6 times, I think it was. And I've seen a couple of her videos. And so I know she's a super fan. And so, obviously, I want super fans to do well. But it was pretty well edited, her going out there.
Okay. You're right. 41.99% of the vote said that she gets the Kelly Wentworth Award, Best Pre-Merge Boot. Chelsea Walker, Jason Linden was second with 29%, and Vince had 9%.
Okay, Rob, I feel like you should just go ahead and put out a disclaimer. If the producers on the show ask you if you like blindsides, you just refuse to answer the question. If you ever get footage of you saying, like, blindsides are fun. I love blindsides. Blindside, blindside, blindside. Like, you are... Don't give them that material. Just never say it. Yeah. Never say it. And don't say, I'm not going home with an idol in my pocket. Just don't say those words. Say, like, I could go home. Yeah, it's possible. Yeah.
Don't say you love tribal. Don't say it's fun to vote people out. Don't say any of these things.
I hate it. I hate blind.
I'm in a really good spot. No, never say that either.
Yeah. Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rank the merged tribe name Lumuwaku? This was a wild name.
Lulu Lockhart.
How did it come about again?
Right. I don't think it was not explained. I think it's just on the screen. Again, there was a lot going on at the merch. It was just like on the screen, Lumuwaku tribe, day 21.
They didn't care.
I mean, I'd probably care for it more if I knew the origin stories as a part of everybody's letters or their names, or I don't know, or somebody lying about it. Like, I wish like I knew more about it to be able to rank it. Other than like, since I don't know anything about it, it's kind of low.
Yeah.
Cares.
Okay.
I'm looking on the internet.
Did you Google Lumuwaku?
I did. I had to sound it out. let's see. Decoy vault. Nope. Still don't see anything. Because I don't want to talk too bad about the tribe name and it means something really special.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, here it is. Fellow competitor Lauren Beck confirmed it on Twitter and sent a special shout out to Jack for the best tribe name. Jack Nitching mentioned the abbreviation is for love you, miss you, really want to kiss you, Lumuwaku. Yep, big fat zero.
No, that makes it worse. I thought that having meeting would have been lifted it up. So bad.
I told you guys.
That's why we kept it out.
I told you. I told you there was some corny stuff going on in this season. And
all right. The audience, without the backstory, rated it 4 out of 10 for Lumuwaku.
Send it out again.
Recount.
Yeah.
Okay. Of the 40 seasons, where would you rank the winner? We asked the audience to weigh in. Give us a number 1 through 40. If you were going to put a ranking on Tommy as a winner, where would it be?
Around 30.
30. 30th best out of 40.
30? Yeah. Like, it's not... Like, there's been worse winners for sure. I mean, I know...
You just said he was in the bottom 10.
What?
Bottom 10.
The bottom 10. And now you're like, it's not one of the worst. Well, who's worse? Mm-hmm. 9 people.
The 30th best.
The 30's not that bad. I mean, yeah. It's still pretty good.
And Sandra, wait, 2 winners won twice. He's really.
Yeah.
30. Anyway, okay. I'm standing by it. You put him higher. Look,
better than one of the top third placers. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Okay, where do you place? Where do you place him?
Chappelle, what?
I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like we just talked about how he really didn't do anything wrong. He had a good social game.
I didn't agree with you guys though.
Like, Chantel's in the background, like, yeah. I don't think it was that great.
Yeah.
He's been waiting all game to be like, I didn't like it.
So Chantel, I just want to explore. So you just feel like that that there were other, like, you give more of the credit to Lauren and feel
I
like,
do.
Yeah.
And kind of when I look at winners, it's kind of like if I'm really rooting for them to win the season. So if I'm on the journey with them and I'm like, I'm just like taken into their story and then they win. That's the feeling that I like to have expressed when I see a winner that I really, really enjoy. So for him, I wasn't really vibing with him that much. She might have made some good moves, whatever. I was more so hoping that Lauren was going to be the winner because I was vibing with her story and what she was doing in the game. And so it just fell flat again for me because I wasn't really invested in him as a player. And a lot of other players that have played the game in general, I've enjoyed more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No story, just vibes. I like that. I have to agree with Chantel. I laughed pretty hard. She made a compelling case because it's going to be a lot harder for me to rank him like strategically because he didn't get a lot of... But if you talk about winners that I want to watch again, I didn't have to rewatch this season. I mean, I did for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, but yeah, it wasn't like, man, like if you take out that dance stuff, like go see the thing that Tommy is doing.
Yeah.
I was like, it's fine. It's fine.
No, he's not good TV.
And I think he'd agree.
He's not good TV. I do think that he did do a really good job in this season. And I feel like that I don't think that there was a lot of luck involved with his win. I think that he, like the person that he wanted to go home, I think went home just about every single time. I don't think he votes wrong in the whole season. I think that, you know, he's the one sort of like a, really like, telling people what to do. Him and Lauren, you know, it's hard to split the baby. I totally get that. I also understand that, you know, they feel like that there's a couple of people that he gets to the end with, he probably doesn't win. You know, it's not like that he's a shoo-in to win against everybody. But I do think that he plays a game where it's hard to say that he makes a mistake anywhere along the way either.
There's like a couple that you can see. I mean, I remember Beat Red Face Tommy at some point. So he's looking at people like crazy or like, what happened? You know, so I think he had a couple of tribal.
No, I think Jason, he votes the wrong way on when Jason does.
He had a couple moments. But yeah, I think you're right. But ultimately, like Chantal said, this is going to be a recent season, right?
Yeah.
There are winners that we watched play 2 and 3 times because we just kept watching their season, right? Like, so we have all this, like, this reverence for like these other people, and for Tommy we haven't had time to see if his game like ages really well and stands the test of time, and it's kind of, you know, under this cloud of darkness as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't.
Well, and also though, I find for me, ranking a winner is if I think that they could do it again. I don't think that if he was placed in another game without Lauren as his like number one and just played again, that he would do as well. I don't think that he has the skill to navigate any kind of terrain. And I find that a lot of the winners that I do appreciate are actually very good at the game as well.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. He's a big red target.
One last question. We asked the listeners, do you feel like this season placed too low or just right? Okay. Chappelle, what do you think the audience said in terms of just right?
I think they're going to go with just right. I think it's fancy to be like, oh no, I think this season is worse than that. But honestly, like, there's like 3 episodes in the middle that are almost unwatchable because of the way Survivor handles this and CBS handles this. And because it's unwatchable, you can literally just skip those 3 episodes and feel better about the season. I don't know of another season where if you skip 3 episodes, it changes the entire makeup of the way you view the season, right? Like, this season is so bad. Everybody's like, take out the dance stuff. Okay, they isolated the dance stuff for the most part. They had some, like, you know, some foreshadowing, but it, for the most part, it landed right in that sweet spot. And you're saying take out 3 whole episodes from the season and it's watchable now, you know? Like, no, we wouldn't. I don't think we would do that for other episodes. So, I mean, for other seasons, not 3 of them in a row. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think this is right where it belongs.
So what percentage of people do you think said it was just right?
Mm-hmm. 45.
Okay. Chantal, higher or lower than 45%?
Higher.
Yeah, it's actually way higher. 67% said this was just right for the 40th best season of Survivor.
And I think that also, though, with like how I view Tommy as a winner, is that I kind of, when I was originally watching it, it kind of glazed over. Like when all that stuff started happening, I wasn't as invested, you know. Yeah. I wasn't like involved in watching it because I just felt something wasn't resolved and taken care of, and like we're just pushing that aside, and then now I'm supposed to be cheering and rooting for this person. So that could also have tainted the way that I see this win.
Look, on this rewatch, like, I was watching the first 7 episodes. I was like, oh yeah, this is good. And then it really just like, ooh.
Yeah,
really takes the wind out of sails.
Yeah. And I think Chantel again is right. I think there's no point in the season where I'm actively rooting for Tommy specifically. There's always somebody who I want to win a little bit more than him until the final 3. You know, like with the week before that it was Lauren, the week before that it was Janet, the week before that it was Elaine, the week before, like, it's literally no point in I'm like, Tommy needs to take this, you know? And I think you want to be behind your winner. Yeah. And this is no disrespect to him, but that's just the way the show showed him.
It's not an underdog win that you see the underdogs coming together on a number of occasions with a plan to get him out. And then it ultimately doesn't work. You know, especially frustrating is when you see, okay, the people that didn't go on the reward, it's Dean and Karishma and Nora and Elaine, and they've got this plan and they're going to ultimately blindside. And then Dean tells, and then everybody's whispering at tribal council, which is always terrible when that happens. So yeah, I totally understand the frustration with somebody who's like a front runner going on to win the season.
Yeah. And he didn't get a front runner edit, in my opinion. Like, the edgy people can say whatever they want. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, if you're the front runner, we want to see your perspective the whole time. And, you know, or maybe we don't. But at the same time, you want to be able to respect the story that your perspective told. And there were other better stories. Like, I think Caramoan is the one Cochran wins or whatever. Yeah. Cochran is the narrator of that season. There are other likable people there, but you are following the Cochran through line. There are points in this season where you lose Tommy.
Yeah.
And you lose him. And I'm not saying he's purple or he's not in the episode because he's there. They keep plugging him in there, but you're not worried about him. Look at all these other great people. Look at Missy. Look at, you know, so for, yeah, I think that's just kind of how his season's going to come off. It's going to be probably in 30 for me.
Yeah. I wonder if that has to do with, you know, how good you are in the confessional, where Cochran's one of the all-time greatest confessional people of all time, and Tommy is, you know, but, you know, not in the top 30, probably.
Right.
In that category.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Some other just polling facts. Of the 2,400-plus people that submitted ballots, 82% of the ballots had season 39 in the bottom 10. And fewer than 1% of the ballots had season 39 in the top 10.
We know.
who's the wise guy who's like?
Yeah, maybe there might have been some jokes.
Maybe they didn't watch the whole season.
maybe they stopped halfway through. Okay.
Or maybe it was Tommy. It
could have been Tommy.
Maybe it was Tommy. I see you, Tommy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Tommy bump.
All right. Chappelle, anything else you want to say about season 39? Or have we said it all?
I think we've said it all. I think we have, you know, found the coal and gave it all the pressure. And then this little tiny diamond of a podcast came out. We dug through the stuff, the big turd,
yeah,
in the punch bowl. And we found some good stuff in there. And I think we highlighted it pretty well. I don't have anything to add.
Okay. All right. Well, how about you, Chantel?
All my notes have been answered. Okay. I mean, pretty good. Actually, the only thing that we didn't really talk about is I thought that they had pretty good titles for, you know, the episode. And so that was something that
I feel like we never talk about that. Yeah. Do you like the episode titles?
I do. Like, I was like listening. I'm like, okay, what was that about? Like, the first one's like, I vote you out and that's it. Or YOLO, let's play. So
yeah.
I found.
Yeah. I always like that one. YOLO, let's play.
YOLO, let's play.
Who was that quote?
Kelly.
Oh, Kelly. Okay. Kelly, yeah. So I think that, you know, we could say that that's a silver lining of this
good episode season. Titles. I never heard anybody ever talk about that with a Survivor season. This has good episode titles.
It does.
These are good. You're right. Yeah. This is my first time looking at them. Mama, look at me now. I was born at night, but not last night. Suck it up, Buttercup. Like, this sounds like now. That's what I call music.
This the hits.
Volume 39, we have I Vote You Out, and that's it. YOLO, let's play. When Don't Bite the Hand That Feeds You, featuring Elaine, and Suck It Up, Buttercup. You know, like, the favorite hits from your 40th favorite.
Right? It's like, it's a playlist. Soundtrack. Let's go.
Okay. All right. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Rank those.
rank the episode names. Okay.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. Okay. Well, this was great to talk through all of this stuff. You know, I really felt like that. All right. Hey, look, you know, this was the 40th best season of Survivor. And I felt like there was a lot of good stuff to talk about still. Like, I can't wait to see where we go from here. Like, we ripped the Band-Aid off, talked about the 40th best season. We've only got better seasons to talk about after this. So we are not quite done yet with season 39 here, that we are going to be doing our weekly Survivor feedback show to answer more of your questions. I told you we got over 300 questions from the listeners. I want to answer more of those questions. And then you can also submit your questions in response to what you heard in this podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/top40feedback. You can send in your questions through the end of the day Friday, when I will be recording our feedback show that will be a patron exclusive with Matt Scott this week, talking about a bunch of additional questions and your feedback thoughts on the
Island of the Idols, the 40th best season of Survivor. If you want to become a patron, it's the start of a brand new month, of a brand new year. A great time to get on board with everything we're doing behind the scenes. Get our patron podcast feed. Find out everything that we're doing with our weekly patron activities. All of the patron Facebook groups and more at robhasawebsite.com/patron. All right. So why don't we talk about what's coming next week? Are you interested to know what the 39th best season of Survivor is?
Yes.
Okay.
I want Chantel to guess.
Do you want to guess?
I want her to guess.
You know, the two that we're thinking of, but then I was kind of looking a little bit. And for me, I think that it was actually season 38, was it? Is that the Chris Underwood
the
season?
The Edge of Extinction.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hated that. So right now that's my pick. Before we kind of briefly touched on another one, which might be Chappelle, so I won't say it yet. And I definitely could see an argument for that being not my favorite either. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, no, I felt there's one that I hated more recently.
Yep.
And I didn't enjoy him coming back from the Edge of Extinction and just like winning a different game than was being played.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He won a completely different game.
Right.
He won Edge of Extinction.
All right. That's Chantel's vote. All right. Chappelle, do you want to weigh in with a guess?
Wow. Those are really good picks. Like, I forgot how much I hated those seasons. I was like, wow, you're right. Those sucked. Heroes, Healers, and Hustlers sucked. What else?
Could be everything that's coming up here in January.
We might just like run the list. Me and Chantel are going to create a Google Doc and just tell you. What mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think for me, the answer is Thailand, because it's a very similar situation as what we have in this season, but CBS just ignores it completely. Mm-hmm. So in this season, they tried to correct it and thought they did a really good job, and they leaned into that, and it was bad and it was cringy. And in Thailand, they just completely ignored it and tried to make this woman's claims make her look like a crazy person. So I would say that is, for me, the second worst season.
Okay. All right.
I can't even remember it right now. So it must be bad.
Yeah.
Chantel, right. A woman accuses a man of groping her and he yells at her and they vote her out and he goes to the final five.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, here we go. Are you ready to hear the 39th best season of Survivor coming up next week on the all-time top 40 season rankings? Here we go. It's Survivor Redemption Island.
Hey, Testanino, what's wrong with your voters? They got a problem with all my seasons.
Rob, I'm sorry. That's why the people voted.
Yeah. That means All Stars is next.
We don't know. I don't know.
I got to get the Boston Rob seasons out of here.
Next time out, we will talk about Survivor Redemption Island, season 22. Frail Mary, Mary Kwiatkowski, and Jason Reed will join me next week to talk about everything with Survivor Redemption Island. We will take your feedback questions for next week. robhasawebsite.com/top40feedback. And then on Monday, we will put out our season poll, robhasawebsite.com/top40poll, to get your thoughts on Redemption Island. All right. This was really great. I'm really happy with how this first episode went. I know this was not the easiest season to talk about. But, you know, when you're talking about the 40th best season of Survivor, you got to start somewhere. So thank you both for coming on here and joining me to help launch this brand new series. Chantel, where can people hear more from what you're doing?
Oh, absolutely. I have a YouTube channel, Reality Realness with 3 S's. It's going to be mm-hmm. down over here.
Yes.
Right now I'm covering The Bachelor, Sequester. Is that all that's on right now? And The Challenge. The Challenge has been pretty good this season. So we usually go live at about 2 p.m. after the episode airs, but I go live after the episode of The Challenge on Wednesdays. So that's what I'm doing.
Okay. And Chantel, do you have a guess, or is it just you go and just tell us everything you think?
No, I definitely usually podcast with somebody. So for the challenge, I have my two friends, Michelle and Fanta. Michelle, I met playing live reality games. And so, you know, we played an all-star season together of a live game and then another returning season where we were ride or dies and we made it to the final. It was a very, very good story. So Michelle and then Fanta, I know, as acting glasses in Vancouver. And so they're always there for the challenge. And then I kind of rotate out people for The Bachelor, and then my friend JoJo for Sequester. He's kind of a Sequester star. We mm-hmm. also met playing these live reality games, and we're currently playing one together right now, and it's pretty interesting. So yes, there's okay. some people that are consistent.
Okay, I want to hear more about Fanta.
Fanta, she's an actress from Vancouver.
Okay. All right. Well, Chantel, thank you for joining us to talk about Survivor Island of the Idols. And what about you, Chappelle?
You tell me.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
I wait for Rob to call. Kiva slid in my DMs to talk about Renap and some possibilities, but that's all.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, whatever. It's contingent on a random wheel spin, and I don't have a concept for it. So it might come up this year, might come up next year. Who knows?
Hey, Chappelle, you got to take a chance sometimes.
Yeah, Rob, you might want to get a lozenge on hands because you're going to be doing that impression a lot next week.
I'll practice all week.
Yeah, you might want to get ready. Rest your voice. But no, I don't have anything on the horizon. I'm trying to sneak on to the Jess Sterling podcast to talk about Boy Meets World. If they'll have me one day, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then I might pop over and hang out on people's Twitch streams. But no, I don't have any podcast commitments. I'm just waiting on Rob to call.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes me very happy to hear that, Chappelle. So we'll definitely find more stuff to do with you very soon. Definitely. If you missed our best of RHAP 2020, you could hear some Chappelle on that podcast episode. That's up at robhasawebsite.com. I've been covering 90 Day Fiance. If you are a fan of that show or just looking for a new podcast to check out, you can listen to that as well at robhasawebsite.com and all of our podcasts when you subscribe at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. We always appreciate your feedback and your star ratings here as we are counting down the top 40 greatest Survivor seasons of all time. Thank you so much for listening and checking out this brand new project. Have a good one. We'll be back next week to talk about Survivor Redemption Island. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.